much about.
Hi, boys and girls. Hop on board. There's plenty of room for you. We'll take a little ride, okay? Let's go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What are in these bags here? It looks like you're hiding something.
It's not.
It's not? You mind if we go through these?
No.
What is this here?
Nothing.
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
You don't know whose that is? Just randomly in your house?
Yeah.
I'm completely single. I'm very intelligent. I'm great in bed. I make great money. Believe it or not, I'm a complete catch. There's nothing wrong with me. Matter of fact, I'm one of the few men in the city that has nothing wrong with him.
And now...
Survey says...
You. Tell me about it.
Our feature presentation.
I miss that guy.
Which one, Dimitri? From him.
Dimitri's the best.
Oh, he was awesome. I love that dude.
If you don't call me by tomorrow, I'm never going to call you again.
This was a guy who was running a seminar on how to meet women and date them. And you hear 5 seconds of the guy, and you can't imagine he could ever get a woman, yet he's out there doing seminars and charging people to listen to his advice.
Well, they are really losers listening to him about how to get a woman.
Let the romance begin.
Yep, that's our boy right there. By the way, we're going to take your calls. Phone lines are open if you want to be first on the new week to get in on Kevin DeBean's What to Do Nephew. If you want to call and talk about anything that happened over the weekend, the best thing you saw, the best thing you heard, 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize. Kevin, you miss all of the pre-show chatter because you arrive 1 second before we go on.
That's correct.
But in the last few minutes, I've heard that Psycho Mike almost died this weekend.
Really?
And that Lisa almost killed her dog. I've heard both of those stories.
Yeah.
That
sure
is
wish,
true.
Sure wish one of those would have happened.
Oh,
me too. So apparently it's a miracle that that everybody on the Kevin DeBean show survived to return after the holiday weekend.
Wow. What happened to you, Mike? How'd you almost die?
Yeah, I was playing a show at the Doll Hut in Anaheim, which is like an old beat up like punk rock venue, and the ceilings are real low. So when I was on stage, I was hanging from the rafters, hanging by my legs, like trying to hang down upside down.
Right.
And I went to dive into the crowd, and my legs went out from underneath me, and my head just went straight into the concrete.
Nice.
And I was
I saw
white for a second, and I was like, I better keep on singing. So I gathered myself, but
show must go on.
Yeah. So I gathered myself, and everything actually was fine. I didn't think anything of it, but I was driving home like 2 hours later, and I'm still all dizzy and lightheaded.
Nice.
Did you think about the ski accident with what's her name? Had the little snow bunny fall
what's
and then died.
Just barely fell.
Yeah. I didn't, but thank you.
Because seriously, you could have died 2 hours later.
No, you're right. I mean, I figured there's something wrong when it's been this long since it happened, and I had to pull over when I was driving and stuff. So
excellent.
Wow.
No, that's good.
Good way to go to the hospital.
I bet everyone in the club went, wow, that guy. Did you see that guy? He fell on his head. That's quite a move. They thought it was.
It was all bikers and like punk rockers, like a real tough
part
place.
Of the show.
So I had to show out. Like I had to show like I was like a man, like a real man.
And the deal with, what was it? It was Natasha Richardson, right?
Natasha Richardson, yes.
The deal was that she fell down, thought she was fine, had a little bit of a headache, but then her brain continued to swell, and that's what ended up killing her, right?
Right.
Yeah. And there was,
I could use a little brain swelling, you know, like, get a little.
You could use some swelling somewhere.
Yeah. Hey!
Aha! And then, Lisa, why did you try to drown a puppy?
Puppy Lake for
one
year?
I went to my mom's on Sunday, so I was gone for, I don't know, 8 or 10 hours. And I came home, and the trash from underneath the sink was everywhere.
Good.
And in that trash had been a block of food from an earthquake kit that I had thrown away. And 1/3 of this block of food, it's disgusting, is supposed to keep a human alive for a day.
Right.
She ate the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's super dense, and then she drank a lot of water, and her stomach blew up. Like a beach ball.
Nice.
It was hard as a rock, and she's just like, crying. And
Lisa's dogs, for those of you who don't know, are the size of a rat.
Yeah.
Very, like very pounds. Small and ugly.
And then she threw up, and she seemed to feel better, so I waited a few hours, and then it started up, so I had to take her to the emergency room in the middle of the night.
They had to pump her little stomach?
They pumped her stomach.
Really? I was just kidding.
Dude, she's still there. She's still there.
Really? But
then they have to give them IVs, because all that water that they drink just gets soaked into that wad and doesn't nourish the rest of their body.
Wow.
It's like,
are we still talking about your dogs?
It's like a terrorism attack. Just feed someone that block of food and watch them die.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Eat this block.
My stomach hurts just hearing about it.
I know.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Wasn't good.
I like that your first instinct with a dog with like a giant brick in its stomach is just to go, let's wait it out.
Well,
let's see how this goes.
I don't know, maybe. No.
But by the way, we're going to your calls in a moment at 1-800-520-1067. The caller who hung up for some reason was calling about the world's greatest event ever on television that I missed. Apparently, the Los Angeles Marathon this year was aired live on Channel 4.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Apparently, Alita Laresca was running in it. If you could just imagine the bruises on that poor young woman's face as a result of running in the marathon, what that must have been like.
Wow. Well,
I got a ton of emails yesterday from people who said, you got to check it out. Your favorite weather chick is on TV running a marathon. But unfortunately, it was already over at that point. I didn't get to see it with my own eyes.
Yeah. Wow, what a shame.
Someone should put that up on YouTube. It's YouTube worthy.
Yes, somebody should.
Bean has been obsessed with this weather chick for Channel 4 for, I don't know, 5 years.
Yeah.
And
feels like 10.
Feels like 10, and she doesn't deserve it. But
girls with breasts that big cannot run in a marathon, can they?
Well, they have a sports bra.
They strap them down. Or two.
Duct tape.
But it's got to be painful.
Well, I would think so, but
I mean, not that I care if it's painful, but
they have a series of pulleys and whatever to make that work
for them.
There
were probably 150 hotter chicks running that race.
Might have been. I wish I'd seen it. I wish I'd known. I dropped the ball on that one.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Next.
We're sorry. You missed first dial at 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
By the way, we're going to miss Ralph complaining about the marathon because it doesn't go by his house anymore since he moved out to the Valley.
Remember,
he used to be so miserable the day after the marathon every year. But
he moved.
It could have been. Now he's escaped to the Ralph.
Yeah.
All right, here's what you get. 1-800-520-1067. You get tickets to the Ink and Iron Festival, which is going on the weekend of June 5th on the Queen Mary. Sounds to me like it may involve tattoos and rock music. Some of the bands involved include Eagles of Death Metal and the legendary Sonics. How about that for a great ticket giveaway,
Wow. Too much for these calls, I'll tell you that. Let's begin with Johnny. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, what it do, fellas?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, man, I'm just curious, guys. I called over the weekend really, like, extremely late, early in the morning, you know, probably Sunday.
Right.
Asked them to play a song. I got hung up on multiple times for being drunk and having a good time.
What?
What kind of douches do you have running your station during the weekend?
Look,
really, fellas.
I don't know, but I do have to say that when someone calls us drunk, they're my favorite.
Put him on.
I was drunk. I swear a few times I'm being good now. Boys, I'm on my way back right now from the club. You know, we were rocking it.
Right.
You know, that's how it goes. I think I'm doing it right now. It's 6:08. Oh, that's my clock says, and it's wrong.
Yeah,
that's
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny, is it possible that once you got a hold of the person answering the phone and made the request for your song, that then they wanted to move on to other calls because you'd already kind of accomplished your business? They weren't really there to just chit chat.
I got some kid doing his first internship to try to get on the air. I guess he's trying to get a job with you guys.
Right.
And he was decent, but the guy, I guess, who worked there, he wouldn't even give his name, hung up on me like 4 times in a row. I'm like, are you serious? I was so polite.
Yeah.
So polite, too.
All right, let me ask you a question. This goes to the bottom of it. If he hung up on you 4 times in a row, you're calling 3 times too many.
Right? Good point.
Why would you keep
hammered? What do you think? You've been hammered.
Of course.
Been hammered in one of the year's song, okay? That's where I was at.
Right, but you need to understand that when you're drunk, it sounds like what you're saying is the best thing ever. It's not necessarily. You know, it might sound great coming out of your mouth, but that's because you got liquor in you. And if you didn't, you'd go, wow, I would have hung up on that guy.
I
would have hung up on you 5 minutes ago if I had really control of this phone. How about that? How do you like that, huh?
Thank you for the call. They made the right choice, is what we're saying. All right, who wants to go to DeJuan?
Yep.
Yeah! DeJuan.
What's up, Kevin and Vane?
Wow, listen to DeJuan.
Sound a little
so tired.
A little rough, DeJuan. You tired?
Nope, I just got up, and my party was great.
It was great.
It's only three of us, just me and two of the people who came.
Okay. Now, this was your big party that you were going to have over Memorial Day weekend, and so you wanted Psycho Mike to set it up, but Psycho Mike had to work. And, Mike, what did you do? Did you do anything? Did you set up anything?
Well, I mean, there was not much I could do. I was on the air really early on Saturday night, and Dwan knew that. So, I talked to him pretty periodically throughout Saturday night, kind of checking in, seeing what I could do. Maybe I mentioned it on the air. But Dwan seemed to have a pretty good time, just him and his two buddies.
That's the best.
They watched a little 90210, right, Dwan?
Yeah.
I just, Dwan, I don't know if that's a party, if it's just you and two guys watching TV.
We just hang out.
Yeah,
yeah. You're just hanging out with your friends, right? I'm gonna say all
people supposed to come, but some of them are like busy or
sure
like that.
Dwan and I had the discussion about this on Saturday night that it might not be a good idea to throw a party on Memorial Day weekend because a lot of people are out of town or have prior engagements.
I'd like to suggest that if Dwan is there by himself. That's a party.
That's a party.
Well,
that's
that is true. He's a one-man party.
Now,
that's
so you watched 90210. What else did you do? Did you play video games?
Yeah, and play some board games.
Some war games. Okay.
Board games, I think you said.
Yeah. Oh, board games.
Right.
What board games? Did you rock the trouble? What did you play?
And dominoes.
Connect Four and dominoes.
Well, that's I was solid. Wrong. I take it back. It was a party.
That is a party.
Solid.
I didn't realize it. All right, Dwan, last question because then we have to move on to a very busy show. Did you send out a picture of yourself this weekend with your shirt off?
Yeah, because it's hot.
Well, it wasn't, Dwan, I wanted to touch on that. It wasn't a picture. It was a video that I woke up to the very next morning after your party announcing your next party. It was,
wow.
Yeah, it was a shirtless message from Dwan.
That's how he turned into Diddy.
To everybody on Facebook.
That's how Dwan rolls.
I'm right, Dwan, right? You were telling us about your next party, right?
Yes, on the 13th of June.
Dwan is turning into the guys in The Hangover. Next thing you know, he's waking up with Mike Tyson and a tiger.
Why are you holding my tooth?
Crazy.
What do you need from Mike for your next party?
Dwan?
No, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, because
you were asking for tables, and you needed some chairs, you needed some board games, you needed food, you needed drinks, you needed people.
Music, yeah.
Music, boombox, so...
Get that list together.
Just drinks and food.
Just drinks, and food. But no, no alcoholic drinks, right?
No.
Okay.
But beer.
Okay.
Beer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Dwan. We're going to let you go because you sound like you're very busy. But we're glad you called. We're glad you had a good time with your party, okay?
All right. Peace out.
Peace out. Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye. He's turning into Diddy because people haven't even gone home from his last party. He's on the internet with his shirt off, inviting people to his next one. That's how he sets up his summer.
That's exactly what happened.
It's awesome.
I think I need to see that video.
Okay, no problem.
Fantastic. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday. It's the 26th of May. I see them.
Well, this was a big bust.
We have Brad Garrett on the program today talking about his celebrity poker tournament.
All right.
Here's all I know about Brad Garrett. Not a good poker player.
Really?
Really, just not good.
Okay.
Wow. But he likes it, apparently.
Doesn't even pay attention. Works the BlackBerry through the whole thing. Talks on the phone.
No kidding.
Distracted like no one I've ever seen.
Wow.
Is he trying to raise money for charity? Is that why he's doing
it? I believe so, yes. It's a celebrity poker tournament, so he wants to promote that. So, fantastic. Not that he's good, but, you know. Petros Papadakis will be here. Talking about the sports over the weekend. I didn't see the Laker game yesterday. How'd they do?
Oh,
well, I heard Carmelo Anthony was out, so clearly there was no need to watch because the Lakers were going to dominate.
Yeah, that happened. We're going to get into our new game, Would You Like to Take That Back? We are going to talk about bird rehabs, bird rescues.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a woman yesterday walking down the street with a bird in her arms, carrying it like a baby, like it was hurt.
Yeah.
And I just thought, dumb.
That's our people.
We had a giant argument about this because Alex, our producer, pitched us a story of, I think it was a bird, like it was a bird ER TV show or something. I don't know. Some kind of a way where you rescue a bird and then you take it in and they fix its wheel and send it back out into the world and everything's great. So that's coming up today.
All right.
We have an instant request on the program today. And let's see, what else? That's it. That's
You're really it. Petering out, sadly.
Yeah.
I may not stay.
Started strong. Started strong, but yeah, now that I look at it, not that good.
Sorry,
well,
people.
It is interesting that today we unveil the details of the Kevin Ryder School of English. So I think we may add this tape to that break.
Yeah, we got plenty of tape for that.
Great
I don't know
example.
That we need this, but
all right. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat Neck. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday morning, although it feels like a Monday. By the way, thanks to Kenny, who sent a link to Alita Loresca from Channel 4 running the marathon yesterday. I did put that link up on my blog at krock.com if anybody else would like to enjoy the video with me. It's there for you to check out.
That was quick.
Yeah. Well, it's important. It was a matter of national security.
Quick yet creepy.
Yeah.
All at the same
I
time.
Agree, Bo.
She's a weathercaster, and there are probably 7 billion women that are hotter probably
You're
running
missing the point.
Yeah.
You're missing the
online.
Point. That's not the point.
That is the point.
That's not the point.
That's
at all.
The entire
what
point.
What is the point, then? If the point isn't that she's so hot you have to watch her all the time. If she's not that hot, then what's the point?
She is hot, but she has the biggest boobs of any woman on television, and she never, ever, ever shows them on the weather. Yet yesterday, she was running. That's why this is momentous. That's why this is important, because she was running with those, you guys. You don't get it.
If only there was a way to find women with big boobs and to see them. If there was only there was some technology where you could look at women with giant cans.
Say even like models.
Yes.
Oh, that
or
would be great.
Women with giant breasts having sex. You could actually watch them have sex.
No, that doesn't exist.
How much of a turn on would that be?
That's ridiculous.
If that existed.
You don't get it, man. All right. 5:54. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a new week. What the hell's going on?
Well, thanks to Bean, all weekend long, I was kept up to date on how much money the movies were making this weekend, so I'm well aware that Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian, came in at number one this weekend with $70 million in its debut. Terminator Salvation, in its debut, made about $54 million, and making it a sad number two.
We made the mistake of arguing with Bean on Friday about that. We said, no way, Terminator's going to be number one. And he said, no,
I don't think there was an argument. I think it was just a discussion.
I know there wasn't a bet. Pussy!
There wasn't a bet, yeah. I did not bet, and Ralph said that I should.
But then Bean gave us in real time over the weekend, one more person bought a ticket to Night at the Museum.
Another couple is going to it in Westwood.
A couple bought the ticket, but only one went.
Someone down in Orange County just bought another ticket. It was like a ticker tape, like a constant update of how much money Night at the Museum was
Ralph
making.
Finally wrote back, if we say you're the smartest man in the world, will you stop sending us these updates?
So,
and no, Bean by the way, answer no.
I did send one line update on Saturday and one line update on Sunday. That does sound like an assault on your inbox.
Well, I'm just glad you were enjoying your holiday weekend by following the box office ticker tape.
Well, I do keep up with the news.
Guys, I was right. You were wrong.
Star Trek was number three at the box office, making about another $30 million. So look at that. Number one movie making $70 million. The second biggest grosser was making $54 million. And the third was making $30 million.
Yeah.
It's a huge weekend.
Angels and Demons doing pretty well for itself as well. About $28 million at number four. Dance Flick, much to the consternation of Psycho Mike, only made about $13 million. It was number five.
By the way, $13 million for that movie, pretty good.
Did you go?
No, but, I mean, you can tell it's... I think it looks funny,
though. Any other weekend, it probably would have done much better.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm saying they should probably be grateful today that they got $13 million.
They should be grateful it got made.
Right.
And that it stuck to celluloid. They should be happy that the stench didn't dissolve the film stock it was shot on. X-Men Wolverine... $10 million. Ghost of Girlfriend's Past was number 7. Obsessed was 8. Monsters vs. Aliens number 9 and 17 again. Still hanging in the top 10.
I have the name of every person who went to see 70s again.
But you can find it on my blog. It's official. Mel Gibson's girlfriend is pregnant. Mel has said as much. He was on Jay Leno last night. Jay's in his last week of the Tonight Shows. And he's having some big guests on, one of which was Mel. And Jay joked with Mel about the fact and asked him whether it was true or not, the rumor that his girlfriend was in fact pregnant. And here's what Mel Gibson had to say.
Now, the rumor, again, you hear these rumors that you guys are going to have a child?
This is true.
We're going to have
a child, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Okay. This will make 29 for you, correct? 29.
Well, actually, 8. I guess I'm Octo-Mel now.
You're Octo-Mel.
Octo-Mel!
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
He's Octomel.
He's Octomel.
I liked his little aside, and I couldn't be happier about it. Yeah. I'm really, really pleased. Yeah, you are, Mel, I'm sure. That's what you want. You want your mistress to get knocked up. We all want that.
This is exactly what I was going
shoot for in our lives. You know, that girl I was banging on the side? I would love it if she got pregnant and I had to divorce my wife. That'd be sweet.
But I'm not divorced yet, and it's going to make it go worse.
Couldn't be happier about it.
This is exactly the plan.
Christian Bale.
What a situation.
Christian Bale.
Yes.
Star of Terminator this weekend has been a vegetarian since the age of 7.
Really?
He's one of those kids.
Oh, good for you. How was it?
Actually, it's you, Christian, I was talking about. He tells GQ Magazine that every once in a while, though, he gets the urge for a piece of meat.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Psycho Mike's very pleased right now.
Tell me about it.
The last time he had it was after he saw Life is Beautiful.
Gave him an urge to have a piece of meat?
The Nazi Holocaust comedy?
Yeah.
What?
In 1997? After he saw it, he said he had to go to several restaurants ordering the biggest, bloodiest steaks he could get his hands on.
Oh.
I don't even want to look into that story and try to figure out what that means.
Why?
I don't know, but it disturbs me on so many levels.
What?
I think Christian Bale's a Nazi. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm going for.
Would you mind researching that a little to see?
Yeah, maybe there's a dish in the movie that he saw that triggered that.
The big bloody... those war camp prisoners, Lisa, they just feasted.
I remember the open buffet.
They're walking them in one by one to that big room. That was actually an all-you-can-eat buffet in there. Yeah. I don't know why that is.
Let's go grab some of that meat.
It's a very disturbing story. You know what? Let me wash that right out of your mouth.
Please.
Yeah.
Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails are doing a spectacularly cool thing.
All right.
One of their biggest fans, a 27-year-old Nails fan named Eric De La Cruz.
Yeah, Eric.
Is dying. Needs a heart transplant.
Oops.
He has no medical insurance.
Right.
The operation, they speculate, will cost towards $780,000.
Oh. Hey, fatty. You are fat!
Not sure he's fat. He just has a bad ticker.
Wow.
Is he fat, Kevin? Have you heard that?
I was
pretty sure that he said something about being fat.
I have not heard that part of the story at all. I have no idea what Eric weighs.
I'll take that back.
All right.
We don't even have to ask now.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back?
Take two.
So Trent Reznor is asking Nine Inch Nail fans to pitch in and help out one of their own.
Okay.
Great.
Every fan who donates $1,000 towards this dude's medical costs will get to hang out with Nine Inch Nails and Jane's Addiction before any show on the Ninja Tour, as they're calling it, INJA.
That's pretty cool.
The fan can watch the sound check for both bands, eat dinner with them, get photos and autographs, and watch the concert from the side of the stage.
Okay.
For just $300, you can just stay for the sound check and meet both the bands. But for a grand, you get everything I mentioned previously.
That is awesome.
That's very cool.
Why would he do that for a fat guy, though?
That's a good question.
Guy's fat. He deserves it. He should have thought that before he ate so much. That's why his heart's bad, says Kevin. NIN.com is where you can go for all the details if you want to check that out and find out why that fat guy has a bad heart. Today's celebrity birthday.
So he wasn't fat?
We don't know. There's no way of knowing from what I said.
You didn't say it.
No way to discern from the information I was given exactly what his weight status is.
Nice. I was giving Kevin the benefit of the doubt as a big Nine Inch Nails fan that he knew more about the story than I did.
That's it.
That,
I know.
Yeah, he's
fat.
And then he heard that the guy was really fat.
Dude's fat. That's right. That's it.
Yeah, Eric.
That's it.
Today's celebrity birthday, Stevie Nicks, singer and witch, 61 years old today. Philip Michael Thomas from Miami Vice. He was Stubbs.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Stubbs?
I don't know what it was. Tubbs. That's what he was, yeah.
That guy was fat.
60 years old. No, he was not.
Just named Tubbs. All right.
60 years old today, as is Pam Grier.
Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz. That's what I thought. And she's really old, though. That's the only reason.
Yeah, but she looks good.
Black don't crack, you know?
That's right.
Lenny Kravitz is 45. Helena Bonham Carter is 43. Let's see what else I got here. Matt Stone, co-creator of South Park, turns 38. And our pal Bobcat Goldthwait celebrates his 47th birthday today. Just want to wish him happy birthday, Bob! Ralph Garman, I walk the show business.
Filter on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9 minutes after 6 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show Tuesday morning. Funny man Brad Garrett joins us on the program today. Also, our old friend and national sports host Petros Papadakis is going to be here to talk about the what are turning out to be two outstanding series going on right now in the NBA and some unbelievable hockey being played right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff going on.
I don't think Denver got the message, and I don't think Orlando got the message that people want to see Kobe, LeBron. I don't think either of those teams care about that. And it's
but haven't they just been such exciting series? I mean, I know as sad as you are to ever see the Lakers lose, you have to admit they've been wildly entertaining series that have every game with Denver. It seems like has gone right down to the last minute.
Yeah, some games are better than others. Yesterday I was yelling. When another team gets like 18 offensive rebounds, you're not playing.
You. And by the way, maybe some free throws might help the Lakers as well.
All right, let's talk about a different topic. Let's talk about where do you draw the line for animals and the saving of animals.
Okay.
We have a feature called Bad Pitches. And our producer, Alex, kind of keeps them around as people pitch us ideas that would be terrible on the radio. And she brings the worst ones in, and then she tells us about them, and we laugh, and we move on.
People may be shocked to know, when they listen to this program, that there's some stuff that we actually pass on.
We do turn stuff down.
It could be worse, as shocking as that is.
Yes. Well, and we're not always right, but in this particular case, it was a little shocking, the response that everyone had. Here's her pitch.
So you guys know what it's like to come across a bird hobbled by a broken wing. You try to take it in and make it better. I was kidding, Lisa. Oh, my God.
Okay, so she was starting with a joke. You know what it's like when you see a bird with a broken wing, and then you take care of it and you nurse it back to health. And
but I'm 100% with Lisa on that,
right, I know.
Because why would you just walk by an animal that's hurt and in pain? Because
it's a bird.
What? Well, yeah, because it's a bird. That's what I'm saying. Why would you just walk by that? Because
it's a bird.
It's birds aren't good enough for you?
No, there's billions of them. Who needs birds?
But it's in pain.
All right, here we go. Here's the pitch. I'll just play through the whole thing.
So you guys know what it's like to come across a bird hobbled by a broken wing. You try to take it in and make it better. I was kidding, Lisa. Oh, my God.
I did that.
Oh, my God.
I did that.
Oh, my God.
You
I
too.
A bird flew into my window, and I took it to the vet.
Last mini roast, ironic. Last mini roast, I was late because I was taking a bird to the vet.
Yeah, I missed a play.
She missed a play.
I did.
That is serious.
That was upsetting.
So Lisa said she's done it. Psycho Mike said he's done it. Bean said he's done it.
Yes, I have.
And that was
How
a shocker.
How can you not do it?
It's a bird.
If it right outside your door,
right?
There's an injured bird.
Right.
You just walk by?
Well, maybe you throw
you
it away
let it,
or
let
kill it.
Die.
But it's not dead.
A two to the back of the head, maybe. You know, put it out of its misery.
My God.
What's the lowest form of life that you would try to save, Kevin? Is it a dog?
I would say it's
anything less than a dog.
I think it's not a cat. I'll tell you that.
I know it's not a cat. No, I didn't even try with
cats. He does not like cats.
I do not like cats, but I would probably try to save a cat just out of human decency, which I have just a little of.
Okay.
So I'd say it's below a cat, but it's well above a bird.
How about raccoon?
Probably.
Really?
Probably.
Now, that surprised me, because that's not even a domestic animal. Usually, you don't care about anything that's not a domestic
animal. But birds, there's a billion birds. Squirrel, no. Possum. I don't know. I mean, that's where the line is. So where's your line? Ant?
No.
But below bird.
I wouldn't. I mean, let's face it. There's not much you can do for a bug that's hurt. You can't take a spider to the vet. You just can't. You know what I mean?
So you tried.
If anyone knows, Bean does. He's tried. I'll bet the vet goes, "Oh dear God, someone brought in a bird." All right, let's make it look good.
If you see a bird that's hurt and you think it can be saved, I think you have an obligation to help it. Mm. I really do.
Yeah, not a bird.
Actually, what the vet did was check to see if, in fact, it could be saved.
Right.
And then gave me the number of some local people who do this.
Right.
And I called one of those people.
So the vet doesn't care enough to do anything about it.
Well, because there are people who do that.
Because it's below his line, right? So then he says, here's a dude that will take care of it.
And for free.
No. It's not. Yeah, that's the thing. The reason the vet doesn't do it is A, because of tight resources at a veterinarian's office. They don't really have the time to rehab a bird over potentially weeks or months.
Right.
And who's going to pay for it? I mean, the person who brings the bird in is the Good Samaritan. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to cough up hundreds of dollars for the rehab of the bird. And if there's somebody in the private sector who'll do that, it makes sense to take them to them.
And then so you take them to them, and then the dude tries to bring them back to life, and when they realize they can't fly.
That, well, they
then
keep
they
them
put
anyway.
Out of their misery.
No, no, they, that guy had
so
200
he's got a farm of birds,
birds.
With one wing
yeah.
walking around in circles.
Pretty much.
Woo! What a great life that is. Hey, thanks for saving me, Lise.
They get to hang out with other birds. If they I'm, get food.
If I'm, a, bird and I can't fly, that's not much of a life.
Well, that bird probably could fly after that guy took care of it.
You guess?
I bet most of
Did
them
you follow
can.
Up on it?
Well, he said he thought it could.
Well, how about that? So yeah. you didn't follow up?
No.
Below your line on following up, huh?
What?
Can't make one
think
call.
I did my part.
At least Lisa did her part. You would step on the bird.
It's a bird, though. That's my thing.
Well, that's our point, is that
no,
it's a bird,
it's just a bird. I mean, the birds are... It's not like they serve a great purpose. It's not like they're going to...
You find them tasty and delicious.
It's not like they're going to go be instinct, you
so
know,
what
extinct
about the,
at any...
the size of a bird? A condor, you would save. An eagle.
An
it's
eagle?
Just the little birds.
Probably an eagle.
That you
yeah,
don't
but
care
the,
about.
Just a little dirty bird.
They're also endangered, eagles and condors,
right.
by the way.
I'm just saying.
I'm
it's
just
still
saying,
a bird.
If, an,
it's
a if pigeon. An animal with a brain the size of a chickpea, would you do it with a frog or a salamander? Or where do you draw the line?
I don't know about a frog. Maybe.
I think the question the question is where does everybody draw the line? I mean, everybody would save something.
Right.
It's just a question of where you've decided is too low a species to assist.
Okay,
that's
and I'm
all.
Saying bird is. Let's have you identify what's too small. What's too small for you guys to save?
I don't know. What would come under a bird? I mean, I think I would
rat,
definitely
mouse.
Save a bird.
Rat and a mouse because they're ugly. You don't
no,
like them because they're
not
scary
they're
and ugly.
Ugly.
I used to have a pet rat.
Why would you not save a rat then?
Yeah, rats and mice, by the way, have much more going on than birds do in terms of intelligence and appreciation
it's
for what's happening in their world.
Intelligence is just about an animal suffering.
Then just take it out.
I'm not killing
shovel.
A bird.
Boom. Get the shovel from the old garage. Boom! No more problems.
I could not do that.
No more problem for Birdie.
It doesn't make you feel better to do that, but the bird is crying for it. Please kill me, Lisa. No, don't pick me up and take me to a vet. He's going to give me to that guy.
I'm not going
to
be an invalid, stupid bird for the rest of my life. It's not
right.
bad enough. My brain barely registers what's happening to me, but now I have to be crippled.
That bird may be out there flying right now.
Yeah, sure. And also maybe in an old folks home for birds at that weird guy's house fighting for food with other birds that can only walk around in circles. What kind of life is that?
Oh, it's like a Nazi internment camp for birds.
I have a question for Kevin.
Yes.
How does that bird that up until 1 minute ago was flying but is now injured, how does he already know about the creepy guy that he doesn't want to go to?
He doesn't, but that's why Lisa should. Lisa, who wants to do the right thing because it feels good, needs to do the right thing which doesn't feel good, which is to put the bird out of its suffering.
We cannot judge the quality of other people's lives, Kevin.
You
I think
guess
you should
pretty
know
good.
That.
Other people's lives, no. Birds' lives, easy. Bong! Shovel right out of the garage.
Oh, man.
Lights out. No more problem for Birdie.
I never like break a leg around here because I'm done for.
It will be shovel.
Shovel in the back of the head.
Yeah. We are going to take your calls on where the line is or what you would do with a bird. 1-800-520-1067. But I have to ask, if flying is the only quality of life question, does that mean there should be no turkeys? There should be no chickens?
No,
I mean,
you're just trying to be technical.
No, I'm asking. There are lots of birds that don't fly that we
and
assume
we eat
have,
them.
Have
and we
reasonable
eat them.
Lives.
We kill them and eat them.
Bean, I know you would save a chicken. To me, chicken, dime a
below
dozen.
I think chicken, I think original recipe.
Shovel to the head.
Oh. That's right.
Boom!
Ralph Shovel from
let us hobble around headless for a couple minutes. And then,
like a zombie.
Dinner served!
But I don't think your criteria, Kevin, is really that there are a lot of them, because you could argue there are lots of dogs, too. So clear that doesn't fly. Can't be that there's a lot of them. That's why.
Yeah,
well, that's
you're right
one
about
of
that.
That's one of the reasons, yeah. But I mean, how important is a bird's life?
But I mean, if the bird can live and be happy, it doesn't matter if it can
you're
fly.
You're guessing it can be
rehab.
Happy. It might be super unhappy. How do you know?
And how do you know?
Wow, I missed the days when I... Because you know what birds do? Fly.
And maybe
that's
this
what
bird
they do.
Got... You
maybe
can fix
it did.
Wings.
Maybe it can run
all
at 60
was...
miles an hour, too. I don't know how it rehabbed, but you're really taking
it's
a lot for granted
bionic.
Here. Bionic. It doesn't need to fly because it can run all fast and all whatnot.
They gave him nuclear-powered prosthetic legs.
What the hell's
all
wrong
right.
with you?
I'd like Let's to talk to a vet, too, by the way. I'd like to talk to a vet
who
about
say,
her.
Don't bring stupid birds into
about
my
the,
office.
About the a-holes that bring in birds.
I've got real animals to deal with here.
As soon as I can teach a sparrow to fetch my newspaper, then I'm saving him. Other than that,
it's
he's
about
gone.
Newspaper.
Let's take one call before the break, and it's going to be Russ on line 3 on the Kevin DeBean Show. Then we want to hear from you on this topic at 1-800-520-1067. If you can hear the show, you can give us a call and be on the air. Russ, what say you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, now, I'm not sure if this makes me a humanitarian or not, but when I found an injured bird, I fed it to my cat.
Yes, well, humanitarian.
That is the circle of life, my friend.
Right, that's just exactly. You falling right into line with the way the world works.
Yeah, the bird's out of its misery. The cat's got a full stomach. I saved a little bit of money on cat food. It's all good.
That is the ecosystem at work.
You did the right thing. You're falling right in line.
Thank you.
Well done.
Right. Thank you, Russ.
Thanks for the call. We'll come right back with your calls on this right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. All right. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. The topic on the table is, should you save a bird if you find one that's injured and you think it can be saved? Or do you think like Kevin, which is, well, that's a little bit below the line of what I would save. It's not going to hurt anybody if that bird dies on.
I get a shovel from Ralph's garage and boom!
Apparently he's got a special shovel just for that.
Take care of business.
Let's talk to Katrina on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show as we get into some phone calls on this topic. Hey, Katrina, thanks for hanging on. What happened?
So, I'm doing good, but I was driving down the freeway one time, and I see a bunch of little birds, right? And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to get hit.
Right.
So, I'm running late for work. I'm like, you know what? They deserve to be saved. I'm going to be late for work. So,
okay, so wait. The birds were in the middle of a freeway.
Well, they were on the side, though. They were smart.
What kind of birds are we talking about?
Like ducks.
Ducks.
You know, I have to tell you, that happens all the time. I see the CHP log, and it happens all the time.
Right.
They have little ducks, and they stop the traffic. And
well, they need to stop that. There's too much traffic to be stopping
for a duck. It's
usually
a mother and her babies. It's so sad.
All right, Katrina, what did you do?
So I gather them up like an idiot. I'm running around in circles. I'm late for work. I bring them to the local vet, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to come back tomorrow to check on these little guys, right?
See, because she cares, Lisa, unlike you.
I think she's awesome.
All right, go ahead.
Unlike me.
So I go in there, and I'm like, hey, you know, I came in yesterday. Like, oh, yeah, we remember you. Thank you so much. And like, they're right over here, and I come over, and they're like full-size ducks. And I'm like, no, these aren't the, you know, like they're little babies. They're like, no, these are the ducks. Trying to convince me that they're the same ones. And I'm like, these are not the same ducks.
You're Angelina Jolie in The Changeling. They switched out your kid.
That's awesome.
So what did you find out?
Well, I came the next day, and I was just, like, heartbroken. And I'm like, you guys really pissed me off, you know? I was late for work, almost lost my job. And now I don't think I'm ever going to do that again.
There you go. You know why? Ducks were dead because they weren't savable.
Boy, does this story have a lot of holes, but I don't care enough to keep asking questions. Thanks for the call.
That's what
Thanks
you do.
For the call very much.
That's how you take care
All
of
All right. Why don't we try, let's try Dave in on line 6. Excuse me. Dave has, he's got a catch-all theory to help him decide who to save and who not to. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
John.
Good. Thanks.
My theory is if it's small enough that you can hold it in one hand, it needs to go.
Okay. How did you decide that? Like, how did you decide one hand instead of two?
Well, I mean, if you could pick up a small little cat, what's the point of that? There's no purpose.
Okay, so even a cat, if it's... What about little tiny dogs that you can hold in one hand?
Run it over.
All right. It scares me that Dave's on my side, and I'd like to move on.
Let's try Anthony on line 7. Hi, Anthony. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Oh, man. All I can say, if it's a good-looking bird, like a chicken, for instance, I say kill and eat it.
Eat it. But okay. What if it's not even injured? You still feel it needed?
No, we've found the owl in this yard where I work at, and we've actually called the wildlife. They came and picked it up.
Right.
An owl, definitely.
An owl, I think I would, because they're
3.5 hours from they were brought up in the Sierra Hills here, and they drove all the way downtown to here and pick it up.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool, but this thing had a broken wing or something, but they were going to take it back, heal it, and then, you know, train it.
Yeah, that's what they were going to do. They're going to take it back and heal it and train it.
Yeah, they give it all, you know, the physical
They get Ralph's shovel out of his garage, and they go, bong, when no one's around.
They don't drive 3.5 hours to bong the bird.
And they go, thanks for your interest.
They found the bald eagle across the street from this other yard.
But very different bald eagle.
You know, I think the definition of a bird you save and the bird you don't is flock. Anything that goes around in a flock, death. Anything that's sort of a solo bird that's kind of cool and large, save.
Hawk, yes, crow, no.
Exactly. Anything that hangs in a flock, F it. Flock it. That's what I say. Flock you, bird.
Shovel to the back of the head, Ralph? Is that your...
All right, let's go to
sparrows, robins,
right,
seagulls,
right.
Crows.
They can all go.
Anything in a flock. Flock you. Mandy, hi. Hello, Mandy.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
You should save an animal that's domestic.
Save an animal.
A domesticated animal.
Well, it's someone's pet.
But most birds aren't someone's pet.
True.
Most birds aren't someone's pet, so no one's going to miss it if it's gone.
So death, right. The, death the birds, so you're saying.
Right. So you're with us, all right.
So you wouldn't save a like a wolf or a coyote then, for instance, if one was hurt?
No, because I'm not going to get the mauled by the coyote.
Okay, I'm just asking.
I'm going to save an injured mountain lion.
Yeah. What about something that happens very often? What about if you drive across a injured deer? That happens all the time. That's not a domesticated animal. You're just going to drive on by?
Do I have my shovel in my trunk?
Oh.
Yes, you always do.
Dinner!
No, but, I mean, will
that's medicine.
You, that's not a domesticated animal. I will tell you, where I live on a little island, as you guys know, and it's overrun with deer. I mean, there's tons of deer. Therefore, there are lots of deer that get hit by cars. It happens all the time. And the vet will not save them. They put them down. But if you call them, they will come out and euthanize the deer right there on the road, too. Because they don't want the deer to
be laid.
So
it's their version of Ralph's
shovel. And that's a good thing.
Right. They do that.
Euthanasia. Why is it good for deer but not for birds?
I'm saying because they euthanize the deer because they're badly hurt.
Right.
Because they're hit by cars. They're not going to get better.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
But you guys don't have any idea if the bird's going to get better when you take it
That's
to the
right.
vet or wherever.
And a crow kamikaze is into Lisa's window.
It's trying to die.
Odds are it's got brain damage from the concussion.
It's trying to commit suicide.
It's like Psycho Mike at a punk club.
don't take me to the vet. No, and then if the vet says no thanks.
Right, no, so, the vet said it can be saved.
Right.
Just not by him.
You know what you got now?
They don't want the bill.
You got a crippled bird with brain damage. That's what you got. That's what's hobbling around for the rest of its life. Well done. Nice work, Lisa.
I think if we've learned anything, it's if you run across an animal that's hurt, domestic or wild, small or little or big, you Twitter Ralph to come over with his shovel, and it's done. That's what you do.
And then I'm hitting you for tweeting me.
Two.
Then Cron Alvarez coming on Mocha Rock Music next.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning. By the way, our friend Jesse James from The Celebrity Apprentice and the new Jesse James is a Dead Man joins us tomorrow morning right here on the show.
I love Jesse James. He's such a hunk.
Hi, Nicole Alvarez. How are you?
I'm having sex with him.
Nicole is a DJ here who apparently has been drinking. If the tape...
Been drinking! How have you been saying that?
We had a concert a couple weekends ago called the Weenie Roast. Do you remember that, Nicole?
No.
And one of your favorite bands of all time was there, Kings of Leon, and you had the distinct honor of getting a chance to interview them.
Kings of Neon! I love them!
We'd like to play with you, if you don't mind, our new game.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you
All right, so Nicole is interviewing the Kings of Leon, and she has had a little too much to drink by this point. And she starts the interview. The first thing she says is...
I'm hammered, by the way, you guys. I didn't mean to be right now, but for some reason I am.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm hammered. I'm hammered.
Well, what do you think the reason might be?
I didn't mean to be.
Right, but did you drink?
Could it have been 400 drinks I had? I don't know. How did that happen?
Now, I'm sure what Nicole meant, if I could speak for you, Nicole, is that you liked the previous albums of Kings of Leon.
I love the Slings of Peon.
Right. But this is how it came out.
I love you guys no matter what. Like, this album's really good, but before that, like, you guys are great. So I wish that people don't judge you by this album, because before you were great.
Right.
Yeah, this album's just different, but before, it was amazing too.
Wow.
So I wish you continued success. I'm Nicole Alvarez. This is the world famous K-Rock.
Yeah, thank you.
I love them no matter what, even with the new crappy album.
Right, well, but that's what it sounds like, as you're saying, is wow, you used to be good and now you suck,
no,
but you're popular.
No, before they were amazing.
Right.
And now they're crappy.
Right, but you don't say that to a band. That they did this.
But I love them even when they're crappy.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back?
But I think the point is that when you're interviewing them, you like the new record a lot. You can compliment the older records, but you can't do that and make the new one sound bad.
Well, the new one is different.
Right.
And I've loved you guys for so long, but for some reason, this album is the album that brought you to the attention of everyone. Did you know that was going to happen?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a crystal ball and see the future of this album? Did you have a magic eight ball? Shake it. Say ask again later.
Well, I've known about you guys and loved you guys for so long.
Yeah.
This album came out, and this album's awesome. It really is.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
But it's very different from the rest of your stuff.
Which was good.
So, do you look back on this album and...
And...
Okay, in comparison to the other ones, is it different for you guys?
This album is different from good.
Would you like to take that back?
It is Hasselhoff-esque, though, the interview process that we're listening to here, Nicole. You couldn't have walked away going, wow, I'm so glad I finally got to meet Kings of Leon, right?
I love him no matter what.
Right, but...
Even when it's different than good.
Right, but a lot of people would say this album is their best.
But before it was amazing.
Right, so...
And now it's not as amazing. Less amazing.
The strange random drunkness that just came on you.
I don't know why.
Can't understand.
I don't know what happened.
At least you let it go.
Okay, so do you feel pressure, though, to compare, like, to do the next album, to do it like this one?
No, not at all.
Not at all? Not even a bit?
No.
Not even a tiny, weeny, weeny bit?
Not just a little bit?
Not a little leeny, weeny, niny, peeny, teeny wit bit?
Would you like to take that back?
Do you feel pressure to get amazing again?
Oh,
now that you're no longer amazing? That you're
you
different
might as well
than
have said
good?
That. Guaranteeing that's not what she meant, but it sure came off poorly.
That's what I meant.
It is what you meant.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, that's not
I meant it before better, now better, not so better.
Okay, so...
Would you like to take that back?
Take what back?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5 minutes till 7 o'clock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Chewbacca joins us in studio this morning. Hey, Chewie, what's going on? How big a party were you guys at where Kevin and Ralph were at the same event on Saturday and didn't even see each other?
Well, Kevin was down in the front row. He was down there in the VIP section. I was lingering with the plebes in the back, looking for beer.
Ralph couldn't find beer, and it was a keg party.
A keg party. Charity keg party.
No beer.
Keg was in the name of the party, as was beer, by the way. Because the charity, which is, you know, near and dear to everyone's heart, is more Shakespeare for poor kids. more Shakespeare for inner city youth, because that's what they need. Forget food and shoes and teeth. Give more Shakespeare.
But he had
Give him more Romeo and Juliet. That'll straighten him out.
He had Patton Oswalt there, and he had Bob Saget was there, and Jay Leno was there. There's a lot of good comedians, but no beer.
It was a cake party.
It seems odd.
Wow.
And they charge you up the wazoo, which I don't mind paying for because it's for charity, you know, because we got to get... More Othello to Crenshaw. We gotta get more King Lear down to South Central. But it was Shakespeare. It was called, isn't that cute? Shakespeare kegger.
Yeah, right.
It was a Shakespeare keg party.
Beer not included.
So I roll in around 3 o'clock because traffic was a nightmare to get there.
Oh, that's why I didn't see you. I got early and left early.
We got there at the palatial estate of Adam Carolla there in Malibu. So I roll in around 3 o'clock. And I go to the guy, hey, can I have some beer? No, we're out of beer. I say, hey, you're not out of beer. It's a keg party. Well, there's more beer downstairs. So I go downstairs and I get my beer and I go and I drink it and I go back to that person. Oh, no, we're out of beer too. So this is the 3:50. I got there at 3 by 3:50. No more beer. Lots of hot red wine in the sun, but no cold beer. The event's supposed to go to 6. Screw you, Shakespeare.
That is not ideal, I guess.
No.
Wow. All right.
At least Jay Leno made some very funny Sarah Palin jokes, timely as ever.
Well,
Sarah Palin was a run for... Really? Really, Jay? Sarah Palin?
I was impressed that he showed up. I mean, considering this is his last week of the Tonight Show and everything else, I thought that was pretty...
Did your wife win the big
cool
auction?
She did.
Oh,
yeah.
She's going to enjoy that tour of his car collection.
It's,
I know how your wife loves
are
those
you
cars.
Serious?
Yeah, she got it for her dad, who does love cars.
That's sweet.
Yeah, but...
I was like, what's Melissa doing? Running on cars.
Yeah, that's
I don't
weird.
Know. She likes Lamborghinis or something. Maybe she's looking to trade up.
No, she takes her dad. He collects old cars, so...
So well, that's great. I'm glad she got a chance to do that for him, and I'm glad I got no beer at a keg party.
Yeah, that does seem less than ideal.
A lot of red wine, though. Nothing better than hot sun and red wine.
Yeah, it's a good combination right there. All right, we'll talk all things sports with our friend Petros Papadakis coming up in a moment. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday. What's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian, raked in $70 million.
That's huge.
You know what? America just wasn't satisfied seeing
that many statues talk to Ben Stiller. They needed more statues to come alive and talk to Ben Stiller. That's what they demanded, and they got it. Terminator Salvation was number two at the box office, making $54 million in its debut. Star Trek, about $30 million, made it number three. Angels and Demons was number four. Then Dance Flick. X-Men Origins Wolverine came in at number six. Ghosts of Girlfriends Past was number seven. Obsessed was eight. Monsters vs. Aliens, number nine. And 17 again.
Ooh.
Came in at number 10 at your box office this weekend. It is Tuesday. That means new DVDs in stores today.
What can we get?
You know what you can get? The direct-to-video DVD release of a little film called Powder Blue, my friends.
What's that?
Oh, yes.
Powder Blue
yep.
is a motion picture starring Forrest Whitaker, Ray yep. Liotta, and Jessica Biel.
That's what I'm talking about.
She plays a slutty, whorish stripper, and she gets all kinds of naked on a pole.
Uh-huh.
You can have that.
Yep.
On not your television.
Not that it matters if the movie is bad, but I hear it is one of the worst movies ever
Whatever.
Made, which is part of the reason really? Why I went directly to DVD.
Whatever, Fruit Loops.
I'm
not,
saying.
Not Karen.
Wait, they
still
don't
see
it. They don't save the
not
best.
Not even bringing it up.
They don't save the best movies for straight to DVD. That's how it works.
You know what also I was watching over the weekend comes out today is the Saturday Morning Cartoons of the 60s, Volume 1.
Hmm. Right?
Like what? Like all the great cartoons of the 60s, like Adamant and Squiddly Diddly and McGilla Gorilla and the Jetsons and all these other cartoons that are released on DVD. And the reason they're releasing them on DVD now is because there was so much behavior in the cartoons in the 60s that were considered now unsuitable for children. Like
How
excessive
funny.
Violence and lying and animal cruelty and sexist behavior and all these things you can't have in cartoons anymore made them hilarious.
Yeah.
So if you can check that out, if you want your kid to grow up straight, yeah. If you want your kid to grow up normal, just you know, watch the movies, watch the cartoons from the '60s.
Otherwise, they'll be saving birds and whatnot.
Josie and the Pussycats. Oh man, I wanted to bang all the Pussycats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And good news! Finally, I'm just gonna check out now. Just give me a big bottle of
red wine.
A big bottle of hot red wine and just some sleeping pills, and I'm just going to lay down.
Why?
I'm just going to check out. Announced today, Twitter, the TV show.
What?
This is so rad. I love it.
Yes. Yes.
The people behind Twitter are developing a reality TV show based around Twitter.
Yep.
It is it's going to be a reality game show putting ordinary people on the trail of celebrities in a revolutionary competitive format.
I can dig it.
Twitter, the TV series.
That's just not good.
Twitter.
What will they do? How's that a show?
They'll get a bunch of people together and say, oh, find out what this celebrity is doing. You'll have to find out what celebrities are doing via Twitter.
That's not
will
a show.
A celebrity be part of the show and will be Twittering, like, here's my location,
or
come
clues,
find me?
Probably
is it
clues.
That kind of, yeah,
I guess.
Like a treasure hunt.
Not interested.
Sounds
One
horrible.
Of the producers, John Lieberman, says, we found a compelling way to bring the immediacy of Twitter to life on TV.
Nope.
No, you haven't. That is a lie, sir. You are a liar. Murder button for you, sir.
Oh,
when
God, do we
I'm
get
bored already.
Murder button.
Murder button
yeah.
for you, sir.
That's gonna be riveting.
Oh, you know what? I thank God that the people who run television weren't in charge in like the 70s and 80s because we'd have like Mood Ring, the series,
That's
and
true.
Pet
That's
Rock,
right.
the motion picture, and every lame ass fad that came along would have its own TV show. Twitter, the TV series.
This should not happen in America.
That's true.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Bobcat Goldthwait, our old buddy Bobcat, was 47. Was 47? Is 47 years old today.
Still R.I.P.
Let's see. Helena Bonham Carter, very talented actress, is 43 years old today. Joseph Fiennes, star of Shakespeare in Love, is 39 years old today. Speaking of Shakespeare, did I tell you about the event I went to this
you
weekend?
No, tell me.
Shakespeare, it was called.
Right.
They ran out of beer.
But what?
Yeah. How about that? How's that for an event?
I thought beer was the theme.
The kegger. Well, they called it a kegger. They had the balls to call it a kegger.
But the picture on the sign was what?
Beer.
It was
a
beer.
A big stein of beer.
Yeah, there was that.
Shakespeare on it. Pam Grier is 60 years old
yeah.
today. Philip Michael Thomas from the legendary Miami Vice TV series is 60 years old. Actress, singer Stevie Nicks turns 61. And Lenny Kravitz celebrates his 45th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Shakespeare beat.
That evil maniacal laugh, ladies and gentlemen, is our friend Petros Papadakis.
Yes. Hey,
joins us.
Hey, now.
Yeah. in studio.
Sports I'd have let broadcaster. The bird die. I'd have let it die.
See, right?
Well, you know what? It's not that. It's just that birds are filthy. I mean, birds are filthy, filthy creatures, the filthiest of creatures. You know, they say the bird bath and all. I didn't vote bird into taking no bath. Birds are disgusting.
That's right.
And I just let them, just let it ride. There was a time in my life, one, that I was attacked by an owl. Which was just awful.
That's
a church
weird.
Tower in Greece, yeah. And owls are scary, so I got no love for the birds. Okay. And then there was another time, it was weird. It was like my parents' house became like a bird suicide ritual Jamestown type of deal. And there were dead birds everywhere. They just were falling out of the sky. And they're so dirty and so gross. And speaking of dogs, if you guys want to go to a country where dogs, or any country, to be honest, where dogs are just treated with the utmost disdain.
No, we don't.
Greece.
Really?
Or any European country.
No.
Oh, they hate dogs. There's dogs in the street. They get run over. They kick the dogs. They spit on the dogs. Backhand and slap the dogs. No one likes dogs anywhere else but here.
Well, you don't have to have dogs if you don't want
dogs. No, they're just in the street. I mean, there's hundreds of dogs in the streets, Lisa. Lisa, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying I've never seen animals treated with such disgust and disdain as
That's
I have
a shame.
When I'm in Athens, Greece.
But their treatment of birds is right on.
Oh, they'll shoot them right out of the sky. No one cares about birds.
Well, none of you are allowed to ever enjoy the chirp of a bird.
Okay.
No, I enjoy it.
You're not allowed to.
It creeps me out to touch them because they're so weird. I mean, you think bird
Use
flu came from nothing?
Towel.
It's birds. It's gross. It's bad. They're dirty.
All right, let's move on.
Sorry, I just had to get that out. You know,
sorry,
I want to talk about it.
Good. And we know that all Greeks are bad, but there are two things real quick for you, Petros. I think you mean Jonestown for the suicides. Jonestown is
the
first permanent English settlement.
Very different.
But there was death there and disease. That's all
in Jamestown? Well, I mean,
yes,
like there were colonial towns.
All right,
People weren't committing suicide because they were living in America.
Do you know how, look, it's the day after Memorial Day, the one day you guys want me in here because Matt's on the road.
Right.
And I am filled with mustard, gas, and all sorts of horrible things that I ate yesterday.
Thanks for coming in. We'll see you later.
I could barely sleep. I was farting up a storm all night.
Okay.
Just
we don't need
to
know that.
I had to wake up and come here.
Yeah. We don't need to know that. All right. We have several things we want to cover.
Let's get it started.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about easily the most important and significant sports story of the long holiday weekend. And there's a lot going on with the NBA Finals, with the Stanley Cup. But what about Mr. T singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game"? What about Mr. T
Did
bringing
you see
it to
his
Chicago?
First pitch? Yeah, it was an awful pitch. But you know what? I like the way he came out because he rocked those Zubas. You guys remember the Zubas from the early 90s? Yeah, they were like the awesome swole guy pants. Psycho Mike, if Psycho Mike was like Psycho Mike now and not 2009, but Psycho Mike in 1994.
Right.
That's what he would wear.
Oh, yeah.
I have Zubas at the house, and I wear them around.
Yeah.
And I feel great in them.
But you don't look like Mr. T looks, and he's able to pull it off.
He's fatter than me. What are you talking about? I don't look like Mr. T.
He's Mr. T.
He's 5'3".
He's Mr. T.
He's 5'3" and fat now.
But he's Mr. T.
Well, so what? He was swole in the 80s when people thought that was swole. That ain't swole.
Here he is.
Mr. T's not swole like 2009 swole. He's not Metrex swole.
Uh-oh.
Here he is chanting, "Take me out to the ballgame."
Let me root for the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame. So it's 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ballgame.
This sounds about right.
3 strikes you out.
Yes,
go Cubs, go! Go Cubs, go! I pity those Pirates!
Yes.
I mean, what's wrong with that? What's wrong
Nothing.
With bringing
That's
a little Mr. T-style enthusiasm?
We're not mocking it. That's
I just
best.
Remember being in, like, third grade or second grade, and just the giant mystery riveting children everywhere was, what in God's name did the T stand for? I remember my older brother, his name is Tasso. And I remember he was, like, holding court with, like, some of the other kids at Mary Catalina Elementary going, you know, it could stand for Mr. Tasso. We just don't know. I remember first memories. No, no one knows.
He's
actually had a tough life. He grew up in a real hard area, a real bad project right across from Comiskey Park in Chicago. And he's had kids that got sick, all kinds of. Mr. T's a great dude. You ever see the thing he did with Conan O'Brien? I don't think so. YouTube Mr. T and Conan O'Brien. You will laugh until you cry. And by the way, awesome. Conan O'Brien's like 3 feet taller than Mr. T. Yeah. He's literally like, I don't know, how could anybody be intimidated by that guy? He's 2 feet tall.
Mr. T came into our studio, though, and we all wanted to vote him our president.
He was awesome.
He's a wonderful man.
He really is. Everybody likes him.
He's a great guy.
And inspiring. Right. I mean, on anyone else, it would be so cheesy, but with him, you'd buy it.
He seems sincerely to want to do good, right? All right, let's move on to thing two with our guest, Petros Papadakis.
Thanks for starting out with a Mr. T. It's not like the Lakers lost or anything.
That's the most important thing is Mr. T. All right, thing number two before we get to the Lakers is let's talk about Friday night because we haven't had a show since Friday night. Let's talk about how Cleveland...
I didn't do anything wrong.
Let's talk about how Cleveland is down by... Were they down by... I guess they were down by two,
They're
right?
They're down 1-2.
With
they
one
play tonight.
Second left.
They're down 2-1. They play tonight.
But he's saying
Friday
that
night...
Game.
They're down by 2 points with
you're trying to take me in the way back machine.
Yeah. Well, to Friday night, right? Because we haven't been on since then, Petros.
Okay.
Hey, Petros, here's how it works. Sometimes there's a conversation where one side will say something and the other side will listen.
I'm just trying to hang on to a thread of a metaphor.
And then respond to whatever they were talking about. But that doesn't seem to work
with you.
All
right, you want to talk about the last
Friday night's
second
game.
Shot.
Yes.
So they throw it inbound to LeBron James.
That's his name.
An unbelievable three-pointer to win the game with a second left. But the reason we bring all that up is because you have to see this piece of tape, and we'll put it up at KREC.com. Kevin, you've got the clip, I believe, of the TV anchors who are on, I guess they're on doing... Now, did you get the impression that they're on doing the news on another station that's not carrying the game, right?
So they're trying to give a local Cleveland. It's a local Cleveland affiliate.
Not playing the game, right. But their sports guy is watching it out of the corner of his eye. But he's sitting there, and they're all trying to be real respectful and be newscasters, which they're doing very poorly.
Like Paul Moyer.
Sort of. They're trying to be like
the late Paul Moyer, right. So they believe the game is over because, you know, they're down, there's no way they're going to win, and they're doing the news, and they're basically doing an obituary for the Cavs. I mean, you'll hear one guy say, we'll get them next year, and then the shot happens, you know, off camera, and they go ballistic. Listen to the tape.
95-93, Cavs down with 1 second left on the clock. I won't be mad if you change the channel right now.
I'm canceling my Sports Illustrated subscription.
That's the way it goes sometimes. His dad said we'll get him next year.
Oh, come on, Leon. All right, tomorrow down at Canterbury, everything's looking good.
Cavs win!
I guess that's it. Somebody took the shot. Good night.
So the sports guy says Cavs win. He jumps up, and they all jump out of their chairs like they're little kids.
Now, a couple questions here. Number one, what do we expect from local news?
That.
I mean, come on.
Just that.
Even when you guys were first starting out way back in the day, local news people were idiots. But the difference between then and now is people didn't know how big idiots they were. Local news used to be huge, and local news, much like the newspaper, has fallen off. Now, these people are sitting there in Cleveland, of all places, and God bless the people of Cleveland, but it's a downtrodden place with two skyscrapers. That's all they got. They got two skyscrapers. I mean, they are the smallest. If towns were penis size in America, they would have nothing. You know what I mean?
They're
Cleveland, for God's sake. And of course, that's awful. Everybody knows that in Cleveland.
Yes.
Everybody's watching that game.
Right.
I mean,
course,
that's all they have. You know,
there is no one watching their news
city with a Jesus-like, Christ-like, Savior-like, Messiah-like figure in LeBron James. He hits the shot. They know nobody's watching them, so they freak out. The reason that particular one got out, and I'm sure that all the local news people did that, on the air, is that that's the ABC affiliate, and ESPN is running, you know, a lot of the series. They're running the Western Conference series, ESPN, so they're staying abreast of the playoffs. So you guys fell into the ESPN, let's pump up the NBA trap by playing that because it was just an ABC affiliate.
Yeah, I don't
a
care
bunch
about
of
that.
Idiots freaking out and acting a fool. Local news people are stupid.
But
when is anybody going to get that figured out? I mean, do the show. Just give us the news and get off the air.
What's wrong with
around.
You? No, we do need them to be bad. It's entertaining. You're
it's
missing
not professional. The point.
Of course
Moyer
not.
Would never do that.
I love that Petros is talking about what's professional
on
the air, by the way.
I look good. I put on my suit. I'm very professional. I keep it straight up, and I certainly don't react to other sporting events that are on the air. It's ridiculous. Well,
then you're less than human if you could have been sitting in that room as a Cavs fan watching that game out of the corner of your eye and not made reference
Cavs
to it.
I mean, fan? Like I'm from Cleveland? What do you think? I'm a grown-ass man. I'm from Cleveland. What's wrong with you?
I'm saying you would be less than human if you could be in their shoes and not react as they did. That was
my
a big
job
deal for
not
them.
To react to stuff like that all
right,
the time. When you're on the air, you can't sit there and react to other sporting events that are your competition.
That's why it's awesome. I don't expect that much from Cleveland.
Why is it impossible to have a conversation with you?
Why is that?
Because I'm gassy.
All right. We'll take a quick break and come right back. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets to see Blink-182 and Weezer. And then you go into the drawing. Monday morning, we're going to hook somebody up with the grand prize, which is a limo to the show, a dressing room backstage, front row seats. You get to hang with the bands, and you get to interview them with your new flip camera.
You get to hang with me. I'll sing you songs about Mars and Saturn's rings and angels.
So your chance to win is coming up. It is 7:30 now.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Petros Papadakis is in our studio. He is the. Were you the captain of the worst ever USC football team,
yes,
or were you the worst captain of a USC football
probably
team?
Probably both. Which one but the was. Captain of the worst football team in USC history.
That's
the
what
year
it was.
2000. Thank you.
Way to go.
All right, thanks a lot, Bean.
We talked about Cleveland, Orlando for a minute. Let's turn our attention to the West. This Laker team, somebody compared them to the character of the book, Sybil. You never know which personality is going to show up which night. It's been an unbelievably exciting series because of that. But what can't the Lakers figure out about the Nuggets?
I think it's what the Lakers can't figure out about themselves, you know, to be honest. And I'm not like a pro basketball analyst or anything like this.
Am.
But
go
I watch.
Ahead.
No, you're not.
I am.
You are not.
I can tell you what they do.
Tell
what
me what's
do.
Wrong with them then. Why am I here? Tell me. Tell us all, Kevin.
The fact that Denver got, was it 18 offensive
18.
Rebounds? Unacceptable.
But that's the way this team is. They're inconsistent,
right.
And that's what drives people nuts.
It's just effort.
Same thing I would imagine is going on in Cleveland.
Drives me crazy.
But it's happening here in L.A., and this is more of a favorite, and it's more of a storied franchise. And people expect this Laker team just to go out and do what they expect them to do, which is go grab it. I mean, go grab it. Go play with some emotion. Go play with some fire. Play with what they call in the sports world being a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And this Laker team does not do that. They don't have the step on the throat or whatever cliche you want to use for kill mentality. They don't have it. They just don't have it.
They don't have the desire.
They certainly are a talented team, but you don't get much out of Lamar Odom. I mean, you guys just don't get much out of a guy who's supposed to be your number three, one of the most versatile players in the history of the NBA on paper. The Lakers barely get anything out of him, and I don't care if he's got a sore back. Everybody's beat up. Everybody's tired. Everybody's taking shots before the game. Everybody's dealing with it right now because it's the NBA playoffs. These are the best athletes in the world. There are no questions in my mind about that. These are the best athletes in the world, these NBA players, and to watch them do their thing is fantastic. The Nuggets are an upstart team. They play well. They're obviously an emotional team. They get barely anything out of their best player, and the Lakers still get blown away in Denver, and they can barely walk off the court. This just doesn't look like a championship team to me, but I tell you what, there's all flawed teams right now left in the NBA. Cleveland's flawed. They only have the one player who's just a complete freak. Orlando's flawed. Denver's flawed. They're an upstart team. I mean, they're just having this revelation this year that they're good because of Chauncey Billups showing up, and the Lakers are supposed to be the team that's transcendent of all of it, and they're simply not. And it's driving people crazy in the city, but that doesn't mean they're not going to get by Denver. They still have the home court. They'll still handle the situation, but they are, as Kobe Bryant put it so eloquently a couple weeks back, bipolar. I mean, that was back in the Houston series. They're a team that doesn't always show up. But you look at the team and you say this. Sasha Vujacic, Luke Walton.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are starting. I mean, these guys are playing meaningful minutes. I mean, really, are the Lakers that good? Maybe they're not. Who knows? But they're certainly not performing up to the level that they should.
When I was in high school, we had a guy in track that was so much faster than everybody that he would run the 440 and he would wait. At the starting gun, he would wait. He would just.
Are you kidding?
While everybody else took off. And then when they got to the first corner, he would just go past everybody.
Was he autistic or
just
with everybody?
Just because he was an a-hole.
Yeah, wow.
But he was that much faster.
But you can't afford
to
be that
horse racing, Kevin.
I'm positive.
You can't afford to be that type of a-hole in the NBA playoffs.
Right.
Because you will get snatched up.
That's right.
I'm not sure what it is or where they are finding their lack of effort or where they're finding their effort when they find
they
it.
They know they're going to win, but that can come back and bite you in the ass.
You know, most of the columnists here in town have really picked up on an interesting line of talk, which is about Phil Jackson, the Lakers coach. Now, of course, he's going to try to win 10 championships. Very well could this year. He's one of the all-time great coaches. But they make an interesting point, Bill Plaschke, T.J. Simers, guys like that here in L.A. that write for the L.A. Times. They say, are you going to miss this guy when he leaves? Did this guy do anything to endear himself to the L.A. fans? Do you feel like Phil Jackson is an Angelino? I mean, Joe Torre has been in Los Angeles for about 6 months, and everybody loves Joe Torre. He's doing commercials where he's surfing and whatnot. I mean, who is Phil Jackson? You know, I mean, what is he going to do for this town once he's done coaching the Lakers? I mean, he's going to leave. He's going to go back to Montana.
I was going to say, you do the impression he's spending every minute he can in Montana. He just comes to L.A. to work. But what he has done is bring championships to Los Angeles, to the Lakers. That
not
hadn't
the
had
second
them for a
time around, you know, and it well, hasn't happened without Shaq. And believe me, Kobe Bryant knows, and that bothers him. You know, that is the giant black cloud over him. That is the yoke around
why the cloud
Kobe.
Got to be black?
I knew you were going to say that.
That's the yoke around Kobe Bryant's neck, that he's not won a championship without Shaquille O'Neal on that team. And he needs it, and it will dog him and bother him. I mean, he is such a driven person, and I'm not sure Kobe's driven from the right places, you know what I mean? Yeah. As an athlete, there's something that seems
driven.
Not to fit with him. But yeah, he's driven.
At least
he's trying
out
to
there
do it.
Doing his best.
They just don't get much out of their number three guy. I mean, they get a lot out of Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol is a slightly built 7 foot guy, but he is a 7 foot guy, and he's in there fighting. He does get beat up. That's not because he's not trying. He's just not built like the other big guys he's got to go up against, like Nene and these different guys from Denver. And they don't get anything out of Lamar Odom. I mean, they get plenty out of Gasol. They get a lot out of Bryant. They don't get anything out of much of the other guys. It's too bad.
Everybody wants to see Kobe and LeBron. Right now.
No, it might be Orlando,
it could be Orlando
and Denver.
Denver.
Yeah, and that would be NBA suicide. But you're going to get the Lakers are going to win this series. The Cavs, I'm not sure. They might be out of gas. I mean, LeBron might be out of gas just having to carry that team the whole time.
It's hard for one player, no matter how good he is, to carry a team in the NBA.
In the world of basketball, one guy can do it. He can change everything, but all the way to a championship, it's very difficult.
He had almost 50% of the points in the last game, by the way, for the Cavs. So he's doing more than his share.
Look, I don't go to sporting events live unless I'm being paid. I mean, that's my rule of thumb. It makes me sound like a giant a-hole, and I am. But I'll go to him whenever he comes to town. I'll go watch because I've never seen an athlete like that. He is a transcendent athlete in every single way. He is wonderful and awesome to watch, but I don't know if he can do it himself.
Well, the problem if you only have one good player is that the other team can put all five of their guys on you pretty much. You have to have
other
somebody
guys
else.
Have to hit open shots, and that doesn't
that
happen.
Opens
it hasn't
it up
been
for
happening
him.
With the Lakers, and it hasn't been happening with Cleveland. Again, though, you know, I said, hey, wake me up when this is over during the NBA playoffs, because they take 6 months.
They're not long enough.
I was in college when this one started. I mean, it's crazy the way the NBA playoffs are. And everybody wanted to see. I said, wake me up when it's Kobe and LeBron, because that's what's going to happen. They're going to sweep their way in. And I was absolutely wrong. We might not even get Kobe and LeBron. I still want Kobe and LeBron. But if you slept through the NBA playoffs, you missed a lot of great stuff, because
it's true,
been a lot
sure.
of fun with the guys flying around and chopping each other in the necks and screaming at each other and all the neck tattoos that you could ask for. I mean, it's really been wonderful.
What about Chris Anderson for the Nuggets and those tattoos and that hair?
Don't get
what
me started
that
on
dude?
That guy.
The Bird Man.
Come on.
Birdman! Remember the Birdman? Remember the cartoons?
I'm going to punch that guy right in the face.
You don't like the Birdman?
No.
But what did
douche.
He do? He's not a dirty player or
he's
anything like that.
He.
Why
did
is
see,
he a douche?
Did you see the interview at halftime? We're out of time, but did you see the interview at halftime?
Yeah, he came off a little douche.
You think so?
He didn't even go to college. He's a JC guy.
She said, tell me about the Birdman. And he said, you're going to have to ask him. Okay.
Right
that's
now,
your alter
Chris.
Ego because your hair's not up.
I'm sorry.
Come on. I'm going to punch him right now.
Why am I supposed to apologize
for
the Birdman?
You're standing up for him.
Well, he did get suspended 2 years for a hard drug in the NBA.
Probably
meth. Heroin, meth, or coke, and he will never tell anybody what it was.
Clearly
that's the mystery of the Birdman.
But he's also got bird wings tattooed on the other side.
So he can pump up the crowd and flap his giant wings. Lisa would save him if he was dying on a porch.
I'd hit him in the head with a shovel, though. That's the difference.
Check out Petros Papadakis and our friend Matt Money Smith and their nationally syndicated sports radio show all across this great country. Pete, thanks for stopping by.
I love you guys. Go Mariners.
Thank you, man.
We've got to talk about our assistant producer on the Kevin and Bean Show, our little friend Dave the King of Mexico.
Dave the King of Mexico. Mexico, Day of the King of Mexico, Day of the King of Mexico. Lazy things are gonna happen.
Yeah. Here's what we found out about Dave. We always make fun of him for being lazy, even for a Mexican. But he, from the minute he punches out at the station, is off on international adventures around the world. Every minute that he's away from work, he's off doing something. It's crazy.
Yeah, he has the most interesting life.
But
when he tweets, when he does the Twitter, it's the least interesting Twitter.
Yeah,
no,
he doesn't bring it to
my
life.
Twitter rocks.
I don't know how he accomplishes that because his life is very interesting, but... Mm-hmm.
But it's so weird because, like, we'll leave work and, like, an hour later, it seems like Dave is tweeting from the Pope's house. I mean, like, how does he get to all these places? And then he's on his way to play with penguins in Antarctica. I mean, what's he doing?
On the show, after show on Friday, I took a helicopter to Disneyland, and then I went on rides, and then I took a train to San Diego to see No Doubt.
Yeah, so he sees No Doubt and Paramore, who are two of his favorite bands.
Oh, so good.
And he tweets like three times from there. This is so good.
This is my favorite ballad.
Wow, you should bring it to life,
he doesn't he doesn't give you any information. He's like, let's see, No Doubt takes the stage. It's a white pants party! Exclamation point.
They were wearing white pants.
Well, I think we all know what that means.
Yeah. So he talks about Paramore and how they played 45 minutes. That's it.
That's all we get.
That's the information that you get from him about Paramore, wow, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Haley's hair was red.
And then he goes to Laughlin. And after that, he leaves and goes to Laughlin. How? Why? I don't know.
I took another train to Phoenix and then a hovercraft to Laughlin where I went and I gambled and I rode a boat. Hello, river.
See, this is the thing. This is what I'm talking about with the king, who's a mellow, mild-mannered employee at work. But when the weekend comes, man, he packs a lot of entertainment. For the rest of us, hey, what do you got going on this weekend? Well, I'm going to see No Doubt in San Diego. That's the weekend.
Of course.
Of your weekend is spent recovering from going to San Diego to see No Doubt. Not Dave. He's just getting started at that
point. Right, but how does any of that interesting stuff not just on accident get into his Twitter? How does it not? I don't understand how he keeps it out. So he says, going to Laughlin now. Partying up Laughlin styly.
Oh, styly.
He makes up little gay words like that, too.
It was good.
What does that mean to us, Dave?
Yeah,
what is partying up Laughlin styly? What are we, as the people who follow your Twitter, what are we supposed to do with that information?
It's not for you.
Headed to the lake again.
Hello, lake.
Driving home from Laughlin, sitting in traffic outside Palm Springs.
That's when I got a military escort in a Bradley assault vehicle to Utah, where then I took a private jet back to the bunker.
Sitting in traffic is worse when you're sunburned.
Wow. That is like, insightful.
Really? Like,
my skin felt crispy.
See, Lisa, see what you're missing by not following Dave's
sure
tweets?
So, Dave, the point is you do have an interesting life.
It's very... I'm rad. Right. My life is very rad.
But how about sharing any of that on Twitter? Just
yeah.
Any
See,
of it.
See, this is the thing, Dave, and this is where I think Kevin has a valid point, is you're not bringing the experience to life. What's the point of Twittering if you're not going to share with us the best parts of your visit? You're the kind of guy who would go on the space shuttle around the Earth and your tweet would say, I'm out of town.
Oh, because...
You kind of leave the best stuff behind.
All I know is my many followers and fans, they love it because I'm rad.
Do they love it when you say you're partying up Laughlin styly?
Laughlin styly. I'm dancing the Geely with a real-life glublarp.
Just stop it.
I'm rad.
Just stop
what?
It. It's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
All right, then.
Let's do it.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I have tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of the movie I may be looking forward to most this summer. And I've been looking forward to a lot of them. Star Trek. Mm-hmm. I was desperate to see Star Trek. Terminator Salvation. Desperate to see that. Mm-hmm. But this movie, not just because I love its star, but because, as a kid, it was one of my favorite things in the world. Land of the Lost is the name of the movie.
Looks good, too.
So excited.
Will Ferrell stars in the remake of the very popular kids show that was on Saturday morning television for many years.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I know. I haven't even asked the question yet.
Oh.
Sid and Marty Krofft, of course, responsible for Land of the Lost. The Sleestak.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw that.
What?
But this looks awesome because of Will Ferrell.
Greatest Saturday morning kids show ever.
Just out on DVD, by the way, the complete series, Land of the Lost, if you want to get caught up.
They had a marathon on Sci-Fi this whole week.
Did they?
It was awesome. I watched it, and I tried to watch it with my nephew, who's six. He he couldn't believe I actually watched this on purpose. He's like, this show sucks.
It's pretty low res.
It's one of those remakes you don't mind seeing hit the big screen because it doesn't necessarily age well. But as a kid, I thought it was the coolest thing you could ever see.
Look at him improve on it.
So here's the I've got
we
two.
We have a winner, believe
I
it or not.
I haven't asked it yet.
Oh.
I've got two pairs of tickets.
All right.
For the red carpet world premiere of Land of the Lost, which is going to be this Saturday at Grauman's Chinese Theater. The movie, of course, is in theaters June 5th, but you'll get to see it beforehand if you can sing for me the Land of the Lost theme song. Ha ha! You got to get it right. Got to get every word right. The Land of the Lost theme song from the original Saturday Morning Kids show. Call now if you can sing it for me. 1-800-520-1067 is the number.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a theme song for a TV show called Land of the Lost.
Right. It's genius.
I don't know about that. Speaking of movies, top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian was number one by a long shot. This weekend, $70 million made number one.
Wow.
Terminator Salvation, its debut weekend, did pretty well for itself. It would have been number one in any other weekend. $54 million made it number one. Star Trek brought in another $30 million, made it number three. Angels and Demons was four. Dance Flick was five. X-Men Origins Wolverine was six. Then Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, Obsessed, Monsters vs. Aliens, and 17 again, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Kirstie Alley.
Fat.
Is fat.
Talk about. Yeah. Whoops. Sorry.
Mm. Yeah.
Interesting that that drop was talking about a momentum killer.
It's a quarter of an inch away from the one I meant to hit, which was this one. There we go. She tells interviewers that she would love to get a booty call from Jamie Foxx. Well, I'm sure you would, Kirstie Alley.
Okay.
So they asked Jamie what he thought about that. He said he's open to the idea.
Uh-oh.
He says he likes his women thick.
I'm sure that made her happy.
Well, she certainly meets the criteria there. Lisa, look, if he's considering it, it should make her happy.
I guess.
You've got a weight problem, and you know it.
Yep,
that's right. Kevin Bacon, this guy can't catch a break.
Why? What's wrong?
First of all, his wife is a bigger star than he is now. Kira Sedgwick over there on that closer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He just kind of sits at home now, counting her money. Then he got caught up with Bernie Madoff. You know, he was one of the big investors in the whole Bernie Madoff scandal.
I didn't know that.
Lost a ton of money.
Ouch.
Got taken by Bernie Madoff. Now he's riding the subway in New York, minding his own business. Dude runs up to him, grabs his BlackBerry, and takes off. Kevin Bacon chased after him, but could not catch up. So now he's out of PDA. And people saw him running down the street screaming at a guy. That's embarrassing.
Stop that guy.
So he's not concerned about losing the device, but he says there was private information on there of other celebrities' numbers and addresses and stuff like that. He's concerned for the safety of some of his friends.
Does that translate into photos / video?
Oh, I hope.
Yeah.
That was Kevin Bacon teaching Zac Efron, you know what I mean? getting him ready for Footloose before he backed out.
He is a terrific actor. I think he sure is. As an actor.
I agree. Heather Graham stars in the upcoming movie The Hangover as a stripper.
Yes.
Nothing better than Heather Graham on a stripper pole, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Remember her as Roller Girl in that porno movie, Boogie Nights?
Yeah. Sure.
She's good when she plays sex workers.
She was very thorough with the 70s look.
Yes, she was.
Yes, she
knew. Apparently, she took pole dancing lessons to get ready for her role. And she said she often went to real gentlemen's clubs to learn out how the real girls did it.
I'm not really unfamiliar with the pole.
Yeah. However, she said that she was disappointed to find out that the stage work really wasn't what was focused upon by the men in the clubs. She said it's all about lap dances.
What?
Hmm. Well, duh.
I don't even know what that is.
Lap dances went up. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
What's with the pole?
And Adam Lambert from American Idol may have lost, but he may have an even better gig waiting for him. Guitarist Brian May of Queen told Rolling Stone magazine that he and drummer Roger Taylor are seriously thinking about asking Adam to be the new lead singer for Queen.
Oh, he's like the gayest person I've ever met.
He could do that.
Absolutely, he could do that.
He's the dude with that great weird opera strange voice, right?
Just like Freddie Mercury had.
He could totally do that.
He's a total gaylord.
Oh, come on. He's an excellent singer and quite the talent. I think he's very theatrical. I mean, I think it would be a perfect match.
Yeah.
Because they tried having the lead singer of Bad Company, Paul Rogers, sing for them for a while.
Right.
And it just was weak. It was just
weak. He'd be perfect.
But I think Adam Lambert would actually be a good match for Queen. They should absolutely do that.
Hey you, hey you, hey you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Want me, want me, want me. Pooper.
Is that him?
Sorry?
I don't even know what that was.
Apparently it's a gay car alarm. I don't know. It's...
All right. Do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
Yes,
Susan.
We do.
Hi, Susan.
Susan?
Yes.
Do you, in fact, know and can you sing for me the entire Land of the Lost theme song?
Of course.
Bring it on, girl.
Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition. Yeah. Met the greatest earthquake ever known. High on the rapids, it struck their tiny raft. Oh, and plunged down 1,000 feet below.
How long is this song?
To the land of the lost.
Lost.
Yeah, you got that.
Congratulations, Susan.
This song is tight.
You are going to the red carpet world premiere of the big budget, big screen remake of Land of the Lost starring Will Ferrell.
Yes.
Congratulations.
I'm excited.
Hold on, we'll give you all the details.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
One of my people right there.
Yeah.
God bless her.
That is a bad theme right there.
Awesome theme.
But bad.
Oh,
awesome and it's bad.
Going down to the waterfall. It's great. Today's celebrity birthday is Stevie Nicks, singer and White Witch.
Cast a spell on you.
She's 61 years old. Philip Michael Thomas from Miami Vice is 60. Pam Grier.
Yeah.
Celebrates her 60th birthday. Bobcat Goldthwait turns 47. Lenny Kravitz is 45. Helena Bonham Carter is 43. And Matt Stone, co-creator of South Park, turns 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Is this the invention that we've been waiting for our whole lives, Kevin? Is the future finally arriving?
Well, Ralph's been making a joke about people's Twitter, and he wants somebody to invent a murder button so that if they annoy you enough, you push the murder button and it goes back down whatever technology it is and kills them. Apparently, a Saudi inventor has applied to get a patent for a killer chip, a real-life murder button.
Are you serious? This
yes.
isn't just Ralph in his deep dark fantasy world. This is an invention that actually exists.
The basic model would consist of a tiny GPS transceiver placed under the skin so that they could track you if you're a criminal or something.
Wow.
Model B would include an extra function, which is a dose of cyanide so that you could remotely kill somebody if you determined that they were too much trouble.
Oh my God.
Awesome.
When do we get our murder button?
It seems like very soon.
Apparently as soon as Billy Mays starts selling these on late night TV. Are you kidding me?
How great is this?
This sounds like something out of a spy movie.
So we had our producer Alex track down the inventor. We have Abdul Nebuchadnezzar. Hi, sir.
It's Nebuchadnezzar, baby. How you doing, my babies?
Yeah. Very good, thank you.
I'm doing Nebuchadnezzar. How are you, my babies?
Very good, thank
Very
you.
Very nice to talk to you, my babies. How are my babies?
Abdul, first of all, we're not your babies, but second of all, thank you for coming on the show. You are the creator, the inventor of the murder button?
That's right. I created the Model B. That's what I call it. Model B is the murder button. I put it under your skin, my babies, and I press the button, and you're murdered, my babies.
So there's some kind of, it's cyanide, and it's in a pill, and it's always there? What if it, what if it breaks, or...
It can't break. It's encapsulated in polyurethane, my babies.
Okay.
It's very durable unless I hit the button like this.
Murder.
And then you're dead.
What just happened?
Wow. That was a murder button, my babies.
You didn't just hit it so that it killed somebody,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, I just killed somebody. No, how great is that, my babies?
Who did you kill?
I killed Rob Blagojevich.
All right. That's
all
right.
Really argue.
I put a capsule in his hair.
That's a good choice.
You'll never find it.
That's right. It was perfect. The perfect crime.
But, Mr. Nebuchadnezzar, if I could play devil's advocate here, isn't the problem with the murder button that you're not arresting and trying people and then sentencing them to death? You're just basically deciding on the spot who dies and who lives? Isn't
that
dangerous?
Listen, my babies. We live in an instant gratification society now, my babies. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for, juries, trial evidence, witnesses, guilty, not guilty. Dead, baby. That's all you need, my babies. Dead.
But right, who's in charge? Like, can I buy one and be in charge of one?
Absolutely, my babies. I want everyone to have this. Imagine how nice everyone would be if everyone knew they had the murder button in their car.
That's true.
You want to get in front of me? Here, go. By all means. No. Here, I'll slow down and let you into my lane because I don't want you to murder me, my babies.
Okay, but that just sounds like a free-for-all. I mean, that sounds like the Wild West where everybody's out in the center square with a gun just opening fire on whoever they don't like.
Exactly, my babies. How great does that sound like?
that's terrible.
Murder.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about,
Who was that? Did you just kill someone?
Billy Baldwin.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, the least talented of all the Baldwin brothers, in my opinion.
Okay,
Baldwin too many. This world was carrying one Baldwin too many.
Okay, maybe he hasn't made great movies.
Yes,
but
exactly,
does he
my babies.
Right, but does he deserve
to
die?
Oh, crap, I met Daniel.
Oh, you killed the wrong one?
Oh, hold on a second.
over.
All right, now we're back in business.
Can you bring the other bulb?
Wait a minute, I meant Steven.
What?
Steven, that's the one. Which one's the religious nut job or the celebrity apprentice?
That's Steven.
I think that's Steven.
Oh, all right.
But now
over. All right.
Can you bring the other two back?
I haven't worked out that technology yet, no, my babies. But listen, now Alec, you know, he has less of money to spend on Christmas gifts. That's
well,
for him.
That's true. I guess okay. That's a positive. You don't look at it that way.
I want to go on record as saying that I am against this. I think it is too much power in the hands of the few. It's too dangerous. I don't think it should be allowed to be used.
Yeah, kiss bean, baby.
That's the best thing I've ever seen.
You're very welcome, my baby.
It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning. You guys used to be good, and now you're not anymore. That's what I heard about Kings of Leon.
Thank you, Nicole.
All right, Ralph, I know lately a lot of people have been saying, wow, Ralph's just angry all the time. He's always mad. He's always got a bee up his butt. What today? Now you're mad at us. What happened?
I'm not mad at you, Bean. Kevin, I'm not mad at Kevin either. I'm just sort of disappointed.
I ain't mad at you.
I ain't mad at you.
How come you're just? What do you mean you're disappointed?
Because you've taken a situation that really was wrong to begin with, and now you're trying to capitalize on it and make a fast buck on it. I just think it's beneath you. I'm just disappointed, really.
I try my best to set the bar as low as possible so no one is disappointed with my behavior.
Remember we said for our Weenie Roast concert that we had a couple weeks ago, we met a young lady, beautiful young Latina woman from Mexico, Mexico, as she told me.
She was stunning.
And she said that she learned how to speak English from Kevin.
Oh, yes.
By listening to Kevin on the radio, that's how she learned how to speak English when she moved to this country.
At least that's what we think she was trying to tell us. We didn't really understand what she
said. I think she meant us all. I think she meant our radio station, our morning show.
I said that. I was specific. I said, really, all of us? She goes, no, Kevin. She was very specific about it being you. We're her teacher.
Ralph was like 12 feet away, and he heard it so clearly. He was like on us.
What? Wait, hold on. Time out. What did you just say? So we were talking about this last week, and it was all in good fun, blah, blah, blah. Now I find out that Kevin has actually opened up his own school for new Americans, for immigrant Americans, to learn how to speak English through his course.
Trying to do my part.
Oh, Kevin.
I'm trying to do my part.
And you're taking advantage of people who just arrived in this country, just to getting money out of them? Is that what's going on here?
Because you're on the radio, you know what you're doing?
Right. And our point was, Kevin, that you weren't qualified to do that, and now you're charging people, you're taking their hard-earned pesos, or drachma, or whatever they come here with America with.
Their pesos.
And then you're teaching them how to speak English, and you don't speak English well.
How dare you?
And you're defending it by saying you don't need to speak English well, you just need to be interesting. That doesn't even make sense to me. Interesting English. I don't even know what that means anymore.
It's not boring English. Anyone can speak boring English.
Or, what? By that you mean proper English?
Yeah, it's not.
I was just, and now K-Rock, I guess times are tough. We were running, we'll take any ad these days. And
yeah.
We're taking,
wow, we know that.
I got these for a song.
We're taking the commercial now for Kevin's school for interesting English.
Oh, no.
And I just find it distasteful. That's all I'm saying. Well, you can judge for yourself.
Are you an immigrant and new to our country?
See.
The. We.
Well, welcome to America. And I bet you'd like to learn how to speak English, right?
Ndua. Yeah.
Hey, but let's face it. With the face space and the my book and the Tweety Birdie thing, who really needs to speak English anymore, right?
Right.
In today's world, you don't need to be understandable. Just entertaining. So what you need is
the Kevin Ryder School of Interesting English.
I mean, sure, Kevin Ryder could teach you to speak English good if he wanted to, but instead, he'll teach you to speak interestingly-ish.
That was the grouping of the most meaningless words I've ever heard in my life. That was more words that meant less.
Less. Imagine how you'll impress the crew down at immigration when you hit them with this beauty.
The sum of the parts is greater than the all of the sum of the, well, you know.
The sum of the parts is greater than all of the sum of, well, you know.
Or amaze potential employers with this dazzler.
The Beastie Boys and Cypress Religion and Bad Religion, I'm sorry, Cypress Hill and Velvet Revolver and all the strokes and all the different bands that are on the show.
Beastie Boys and Cypress Religion and Bad Religion. I'm sorry, Cypress Hill and Velvet Revolver and all the strokes. all the Strokes and all the different bands that are on the show.
And knowledge is priceless, right? So don't worry about the cost. No money, no credit, no green card, no problem. Kevin will just put you to work on the staff of one of his many homes throughout Southern California until you work off your debt.
Light-skinned immigrants only at Kevin's Malibu Beach House.
So enroll today at the Kevin Ryder School of Interesting English, because Kevin can't speak English, and look how far he's come.
Is that so? He doesn't. It's are you common. A regular Duck fan? Will you watch all the time him?
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him.
I think I'm doing a service. Just trying to do my part.
You, sir, are.
Well said, Kevin.
I got a little bit of a problem, Kevin. I got some time this weekend, and I'm looking for a place that I can play poker with the voice of Bart Simpson and 80s pop singer Christopher Cross. Can you help me out?
Can I make a request?
Yeah.
Any song where a black man says ho.
Hey, Brad Garrett. How are you?
What's going on, Kevin?
I have to quickly identify who said that. That's
you
Brad
didn't
Garrett.
Have to do that. Now, listen, I told you if I do this interview, the mm-hmm. deal is I only talk to Bean.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh.
Who's Bean?
Thank you, Brad.
So, what are they called, Matt? Are you a Mexican fella? Is he?
Bean? No, Tiny Wiener.
Tiny just, Wiener?
Yeah.
Well, we got something in common.
It's actually.
I'm pull out what I need.
Brad, I'm not quite as tall as you are. I'm close, and I think
Bean,
it started
how
out.
You never come to our poker games. Now, you know Kevin, and we play with Romano.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
We go all in just so we could, you know, hear our Daddy Warbucks. Oh, I can't believe it's $20 more. There you go. Am I right, Kevin?
You're exactly
you
right,
know,
yes.
All the money in the world that wouldn't pay a deuce to see the Statue of Liberty do the jig. Am I right?
You're right.
I want to ask you.
So hard the buffalo crab.
I want to ask you about this. This poker game that you guys have, because Kevin tells us, can Brad hear me?
He can hear you, yeah, but he doesn't stop talking, though. So
he's just
go right ahead. I forgot his radio.
Okay. Kevin says, and he doesn't say this behind your back because he's about to say it to your face, that you're the worst poker player in the world and the last person to know how to be throwing a celebrity poker tournament.
Well, that is exactly right, and that is why, as bad as, look, if I'm going to donate, it might as well go to a great cause.
Well, that's good thinking.
Because I donate every month to Kevin. Kevin, I've given you literally thousands.
Yes, and I appreciate it. By the way, Brad is not a bad poker player because he plays bad poker, but no one is more distracted than him. He's got the BlackBerry.
And I hear voices, Kevin.
He's got the phone. The cell phone rings. It's one of his kids.
Hear voices.
And he talks to him in all the little pet names. Hey, Kookie Pookie, how
that,
are you?
That is a lot to, but remember, the other problem I have when I play is I have a bad tell. Whenever I'm holding a good hand, I become incontinent.
That's true. That does happen.
Usually the Chinese fellow who sits to my left, you know, and once I go on the dog, he has no dinner. let me tell you what I'd like to plug.
All right, go ahead.
This coming Saturday, my brother, and I know you're going to be there, Kevin. Bean, I know you never leave the house because, you know, the wife's got you by the short and curly.
That's true.
But,
true,
Kevin,
true.
I know you can make it.
I can if I'm not busy.
If you're not...
No, I can. Of course I can.
Kevin, do what you normally do. Win a grand and then leave super early.
There you
this
go.
Makes them all mad because I have to get up early, so I play the first tournament.
You play, but you don't have to play or do anything on Sunday. You got no work Sunday, Kev. You come to the tournament. It's the 30th. It's Saturday at 12 noon at the Commerce Casino.
Now, wait a minute. Is it Sunday or Saturday? Because I don't
Saturday.
Have...
Saturday. Any...
Okay.
It's Saturday, the 30th. May 30th.
Okay.
The big benefit. You're going to be there.
Sure.
Ray Romano, Terry Hatcher, Jason Alexander, Hank Azaria, Michael Chiklis, and then I'm going to give you the list of the people who said no.
Okay.
But it's going to be Saturday, May 30th, Commerce Casino for Maximum Hope Foundation, which helps out the families dealing with the unfortunate hurdles of dealing with terminal kids. And us, along with the Dream Foundation, we're both getting together. Huge poker tournament. All the proceeds go to help these two great nonprofit foundations. So there's a soft side of me, Kevy.
Nope.
It's worth
mentioning, by the way, that this is one of these poker tournaments that is open to the public. Anyone can buy in. It's $350 going to the charity to buy in, but you've got a $10,000 prize that you're somebody's going to win.
First place, 7,500 clams. Second place is going to be, I think they get to ride with you to work for a week. but Sony's donated a bunch of electronic stuff, and Fox has been helping us along with American Airlines. And it's going to be a great day, a lot of food. We got great bands, music, and it's going to be a You know, how often can you sit next to Ray Romano and rub his nose for luck?
Okay, here's the question.
Are you playing tonight, Kev? Are you playing tonight?
I'm playing tonight, yes.
All right, I'll see you tonight.
Yeah, you're not going to be there.
The Laugh Factory.
There's no one.
Laugh Factory, June 13th in Long Beach. June 13th, the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. Kev, you're going to go there, right, Kev?
I'm going to be there in the front row, shouting out. Here's the thing about Brad's comedy. He really is one of the few people left who offends everyone on every level. It is spectacular.
Wow.
It's the best.
Stop talking about Taliban.
Yeah, only them do you get them.
Because I'll tell you, they're crafty little bastards. You know what I mean? They're crafty little bastards.
It's an experience.
You're sitting at a cafe and all of a sudden you lose an eyebrow. you gotta look out for those people.
Brad, I've got to...
One chromosome away. You know I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew, Kevy.
Right.
One chromosome away from lighting my shoe on fire and running a flight school. So I take it lightly.
Yes, you do.
What do you do? Because no one knows.
I just hang out on the farm.
Your daddy owned the studio. What do you mean?
I just hang out at the farm. Brad, let me ask you about this this friendly game that you and Ray and Kevin and some of the guys play on a regular basis.
Sure.
How are you so rich that you can afford to play cards and not pay attention to what hand you've got? I mean, just basically to throw money out.
Look around the table. Look, so who would pay attention? Let me tell you why.
He's making racial jokes.
I want to be one of the first out so I can leave.
But it's at your house.
I go home, right? I put the hooker on neutral, and I have a great night.
But I just know that, for instance, when Kevin goes, and he's going for the same reason you are, which is because it's fun to hang out with your friends, and it's a good time. It's a way, you know, you get away from the wife and kids for a minute. I understand all that. But Kevin is devastated if he walks out a loser. He comes in the next day, and he goes, oh, my God, am I sore from losing last night. I mean, he hates it.
Kevin's German, and he has to go home and tell the wife where the money is because, you know, she thinks he's going out for cigarettes. You know the relationship, right? You met Michelle. You know.
Good old Michelle.
He's got a ball in the blindfold, and he sits there and he goes, look at me, I'm a spaniel. No one cares about that.
We all have
our own reason why we play.
All right.
Anna Romano, that house is so friggin' big. She doesn't know Ray's gone.
That's true, yeah. She doesn't
miss. I lost my house, and, you know, I'm living with, an 18-year-old. So none of it matters anymore.
Brad,
doesn't matter.
Is the hot Asian...
Show up. Go into the wallet. Let the bats out. And have
I can't make
night.
It. Bean not I'm only just... doesn't play poker, but is a super cheap bastard. Like, he
Bean,
would buy
what
in...
Do you do?
He would buy in for $3.50.
I mean, what do you do for fun besides patrol the high school? What do you do for fun, Bean?
Is it true that you have an Asian masseuse that comes to poker parties at your house, Brad?
She's a Jewish chick with a bad eye job. I don't care what you are. I don't care. She comes in with a backpack and says, everybody just lay down.
She's hot. Now, is she coming to the tournament on Saturday?
She is coming to the tournament Saturday, actually, with about five other masseuses that, you know, run.
Okay.
But it's legit. She's a real masseuse, Kevin.
I know that.
You called me from Acapulco and said, what do I do with a dead hooker? It's a different type. This is a real one, Kevin.
Right, okay.
This is a real one. This
I don't know what the difference.
This is your Club Med mishap.
So I should stop hoping for a happy ending then?
Yeah. I'll give you whatever you want.
I don't want you to give it to me.
Kev is a poker player.
All right.
You can't win and leave at 9.
Okay, listen, though.
It's going to stop.
But you
Everybody
know.
Everybody gets up at 5. But... Everybody vomits at 4 and urinates.
All right. Let me give out the information again
let the
for folks.
Who does the weather talk.
For folks.
They never let me talk.
For folks who want to join Brad Garrett, Ray Romano, Kevin Ryder, and all the big stars, it's
Kevin Nealon.
Kevin Nealon
will be there.
Ryder.
It's
even a better
It's
Kevin.
At the Commerce Casino in Commerce, strangely. It starts at noon on Saturday. $350 to get in, $10,000 first place purse, and I guess the top 10 all get prizes.
The top 10, the final table, they all get something. We're giving away flat screens, digital cameras. You know, we'll let the Asian chick do a little dance on you.
I like it.
Kevin's going to be great. Now, Kevin, I'm sending a car. I know Bean isn't allowed to leave.
Right.
But I'm sending a car for you, Kevin.
I don't need a car. Because
I'm sending you. I'm Chevy Malibu.
Okay. All right.
With the you know, we're going to put a cholo behind the wheel.
Okay.
With the chain.
All right, I'm in.
The website for the charity is MaximumHopeFoundation.org.
And I appreciate that. You know, it's about putting back, Kev.
All right, let me ask you one more question, Brad.
Yeah.
And that is, do you have to, register ahead of time, or can you just show up at Saturday?
You could just show up on Saturday. I suggest registering ahead of time because we have about 50 seats left. We're doing really good. It's going to be a day of 300 people. If you register now on Maximum, MaximumHopeFoundation.org. You can register online, guarantee your seat, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But we are going to have a lot of walk-ups, too.
Okay.
So it's going to be a great day.
Are you going to be there? Because your attendance record is super shaky.
Maximum Hope Foundation is something that me and the ex-wife started. It's a wonderful thing. And, of course, I'm going to be there. I wouldn't miss it. Actually, I'm driving with Romano.
Because
if I don't pick him up, you know, he's like, oh, I can't.
When you say driving.
My butler's on strike. I can't leave. You know how we
When you say driving with Romano, you mean driving Romano.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're going to be
there. Yeah, you're right, man. God, you know it too well.
Let me say something about Brad, though, that we always make fun of celebrities because they, quote, can get along with their ex-wife better than all of the rest of us for the kids.
Uh-huh, right.
This guy really genuinely gets along with his ex-wife.
I know I do.
It's a little annoying.
It's because we still have sex.
Oh,
and
I didn't realize that.
That's the key.
Okay.
That's the key.
All right, I didn't realize that.
Good advice.
That's what it's all about. How long have you been married, Beanhead?
18 years, actually, Brad.
Yeah.
Ask him where his wife is right now.
That's why you hate everyone.
Ask him where his wife is right now.
Where is she right now?
She's on another continent, which may be the secret to her success. She's in Africa right now. But
is she really visiting the family?
With a dude.
Oh. Come on.
No. I don't get what's wrong with that.
We're out of time, actually.
Well, it's where your head goes.
Ah.
There's nothing wrong. You could say, no, she's not visiting the family. Actually, her family's in Germany or Uruguay. But you go, oh, see, you're ahead of me.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing. Look, ain't going to play Sun City, my brother.
And we'll leave it at that. All right, Brad. Thanks for coming on. Have fun on Saturday, dude.
On.
Thank you, man.
Next time I talk to the broad.
Maximum
okay,
Hope.
Okay, that's a deal.
Maximum Hope, baby.
Maximum Hope.
Tournament.
I'm trying to say your website, for God's sakes.
Casino, baby. I'll see you tonight, Kevin. Bring the pastry.
Bad Religion on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:56.
Hey! This is the Kevin Beat Show. Ralph has joined us for the final look at the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, Sir Paul McCartney's angry at Google.
Uh-oh. What'd they do?
Apparently, they've got this thing called Street View.
Yeah,
where they show
cool.
your neighborhood from a satellite.
Right.
And if you go on, it's real time. And he doesn't really want people to know when he's leaving home.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because a good buddy of his got ventilated by a lunatic in New York.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, happened 20, 30 years ago. So he's a little nervous about security. So he went to the Google folks and said, I don't want to die. And they said, all right, so when you go there now in London, for where his mansion is, it's just a big black square.
Okay.
The rest of the neighborhood's seen, but you can't see Paul McCartney's house.
Okay. That's good, though, isn't it?
It is good.
From his standpoint. Okay.
Yeah. But I think it was nice of the Google people to take into consideration that, you know, they didn't have to do it. I guess, you know, it is public viewing.
Sure.
Even though
legal
it's from space. Right. But they opted to help him out, and so now his house is
Blacked out.
Oh, that's good.
It's like a big... Nope.
Not a joke there.
No. It's like a big boob. It's like a big boob on television. They just blur out his house. You don't get to see it. You don't get to see the nipple of his mansion. I don't even know what that means. Speaking of the UK and our friends across the pond, big fight going on in Scotland right now. Two Scottish cities, Glasgow and Aberdeen, are battling over who can claim to be the home city of Groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons.
Really?
Furious with each other. Yes. Apparently, Glasgow City Hall cites a 1997 episode in which Willie described himself as the ugliest man in Glasgow.
Okay.
However, he is shown rooting for Aberdeen's soccer team in a dream sequence in a 2003 episode. So Aberdeen says he must be from Aberdeen.
Hmm. Okay.
Big battle going on. Someone has to step in and decide.
And then what happens?
Then everyone can rest easy, and the civil war in Scotland will come to an end.
Wow.
Can they just ask Matt Groening? Can they just say to him, what's going on with your character?
Suppose they could.
He's less than responsive at times.
Groundskeeper Willie! Newspaper poll found him the most recognized Scot in the world, ahead of Sean Connery and Ewan McGregor.
Uh oh.
Wow.
Talking Connery.
Connery can't be happy about that,
no.
Right?
No.
The Groundskeeper Willie, an animated character, is a more famous Scotsman in the world than he is.
Oh.
He's not going to take that lion down.
He'll be fine with that.
You think?
Oh, he's got a good nature.
I don't know.
Tune in tomorrow morning.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you think we can talk to him? He's a busy guy.
We have his number.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're making Buffy the Vampire Slayer into a major motion picture.
I mean, that sounds good.
Here's the thing, though. None of the original actors will be in it. They are rebooting the Buffy franchise, a la Star Trek, by bringing in a brand new Slayer and a brand new Scooby Gang.
Slayer's in it?
Scooby Gang.
Will it be Joss Whedon, at least?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Who will be in it? Here's the thing. The director of the original motion picture, Fran Rubel-Kuzwi, she still owns the rights to the Buffy brand. You have to remember, when Joss did that movie, it was his first feature film,
right.
He was sort of a low guy on the totem pole. And so in order to get the movie made, he sort of had to sell off the rights to the screenplay and the characters to this broad who has produced it and also directed it. She was also the executive producer on the TV version because she still owned the rights and apparently still does.
Okay.
Although he did all the work and was the creative vision behind it.
And he was not all that pleased with her work on the original feature film. The TV series was much more the tone that he had in mind for the story.
Okay.
But she still holds the rights, and she is going to reboot the franchise up on the big screen, replacing Sarah Michelle Gellar and all the other actors with a new team.
So Rosie O'Donnell?
You see a new buff. Yes, Rosie O'Donnell and Clay Aiken will be the new Vampire Slayers.
Oh, no!
Although I think Rosie would be frightened of anything shaped like the stake. Like they used to kill the vampires. I don't see her wrapping her hand around that.
Where's your rim shot now?
Yeah! Where's your rim shot now?
There you go.
Yeah!
Oh, he's playing you off with Keyboard Cat. Man.
Not so happy with you right now.
Keyboard Cat's on NBC now?
Yeah, he's got his own series. He's like Twitter.
Wow.
Twitter the TV series just announced today.
It's genius!
It's not genius. It's infuriating.
Yeah, that seems bad.
Twitter the TV series.
Well, maybe the problem is all these people are spending years writing scripts with thousands of words, and what Hollywood wants is 140 characters or less.
Just announced a reality show based on Twitter. It's a game show where ordinary people, say the producers, will be put on the trail of celebrities in a revolutionary competitive format.
Why are you bad, America?
F you and your showbiz buzzwords. It's a revolutionary format.
Tweet,
the producer says, we found a compelling way to bring the immediacy of Twitter to life on TV.
You're not wrong. You're just maybe less than right.
Yeah, you haven't done that. Trust me, you haven't.
Twitter's not even interesting on its own.
And we're going to see it, and we're going to hate it, and we're going to hate you. And if that's how you roll, then fine. How do you sleep at night?
Let's get our friend back on with the murder button that we talked to. Let's see if we can get some of that going in Hollywood.
Great idea.
That's what we should do. We should implant the murder chip into TV executives all over Hollywood. And then when we get a story like this, we just look up the name. Boom.
Murder.
Done.
I think they would take the responsibility to put good programs on the air a little more seriously if they knew their life was in the balance.
I think the conversations in those boardrooms would be a little different. How about Twitter, the TV show? Are you
murder?
Are you crazy? They've got the murder button. You can't put that on the air. Twitter, the TV
show. The Hills?
Show. Murder.
That's what we should do. We should chip all the casts of the cast of the Hills. As we're watching, make it live. You can just see Spencer just keel over. Go down.
Murder.
In the dust, man.
It's weird that the murder button says murder.
Well, you got to know what you're hitting.
Miss. Oops.
Pink dust, as she said.
Pink dust.
It's so much easier when you stop listening to Lisa like I did about 2 years ago. Stuff just flies by me.
Murder.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not going to miss her. How long would anyone last on this show if there were a murder button?
Murder.
Oh.
Now Lisa's gone, now I'm gone.
I know it would be the Kevin show some 5-6 years ago. That's all I know. Today's celebrity birthdays. Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac is 61.
Oh, wow,
so much for Stevie.
It's got a good voice.
Philip Michael Thomas from Miami Vice is 60 years old.
Yeah.
I know Kevin's a Miami Vice fan, so I know he's great.
He doesn't even get to live.
He's not Don Johnson.
Happy.
What else you got?
You know what I like around here is we don't abuse the new sound effects. We don't tend to just... Burn him to a toasty crisp soon as we get him.
You got murdered.
I'm speaking from the afterworld.
Oh, all right.
I'm haunting you,
okay.
Which is what would happen. I'm the ghost of jokes gone bad.
Murder.
Ralph in the afterlife. Now what?
Ebenezer Scrooge.
You can't kill him if he's already
dead, Kevin. Special locker with Anna and the Brokeback sound effect.
That's right, yes. Bobcat Goldthwait's 47 years old today.
He can live.
Oh, you're a sport.
Mm-hmm.
Lenny Kravitz, 45 years old today.
Don't care.
All right. And South Park co-creator Matt Stone celebrates his 38th birthday.
My hero. We love him.
Yeah,
he's the best.
We love him, so he's safe. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show biz beat.
Ralph Garman, as I understand it, is all ticked off at our old friend Adam Carolla after an event at Adam's house over the weekend. Let's dial him up and see if we can straighten this out.
Hello?
Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
How are you, man?
Good. Thanks for coming on Saturday.
Ralph is here as well. Bean, Lisa, we're all kind of rehashing a great charity event.
You had a good time?
Had a great time.
Good. I got so buzzed, I kind of lost track of things.
Well, lucky you. I guess you got to the beer tents before they ran out. I guess that's what happened to you.
They ran out of beer?
Oh, yeah. That happened. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Great charity event. Adam's house. Jay Leno. Jeffrey Ross.
Whatever.
Patton Oswalt.
Whatever.
Bob Saget.
Wow.
It was a really star-studded event.
It was a pack of lies. It was a bag of lies. That's all that event was.
Ralph, what's up, buddy? We go so far back. I can't believe this vitriol.
Can you not believe I'd be pissed off if someone ran out of beer? You find that hard to believe?
I know it is. It is your life's blood. Listen.
Adam, what was the name of the event?
I think it was called the Shakespeare Teetotal.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Shakespeare Kegger. It was a keg party.
It did have kegger in the title.
But it was not called Keggers.
That's for sure.
There's just the one.
It was singular. They had one party ball.
Right.
They had one Coors party ball for 550 drunk, or I should say thirsty people.
Yeah. Does that seem like enough to you?
In retrospect, what would you have done different?
They went out and scored some more beer at a certain point, did they not?
I don't know, because I left.
Oh, Jesus.
I rolled in around 3 o'clock. The thing had just started. The comedy hijinks had just started, and I went to get a beer up near the main house there. Oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. We're out. But they still have beer down in the VIP area down the front. So I haul my ass down to the VIP area. I get a beer. I enjoy it. I go back. Oh, no, sir. I'm sorry. Now we're out of beer here. I said, this is a keg party.
Well, you had the last one. You can't blame everyone else if you had the last one.
I spent $300. It's quarter to four. It's supposed to go till 6 o'clock. How can there be no more beer?
I don't know what their thinking was. I apologize. I really... You know, they didn't do the math. They didn't think I had this many alcoholic friends.
How could they mistake your friends for anything other than alcoholics?
Well, of course, anyone is going to pay $300 to watch Bob Saget is going to be an alcoholic.
Exactly. That's a foregone conclusion.
That's true.
You know what they had plenty of, though? Hot red wine, Adam. There was all the hot red wine you could drink.
Listen, I was just in charge of the entertainment. I really didn't get into the alcohol part of
you
the
need
thing.
To next time.
Well, yeah, you should have called it the Shakespeare Laugh-a-Palooza, then.
I'll bring you to Sierra Nevada when I see you on Friday, Ralph.
All right, then. And that'll just begin to scratch the surface of how you need to make up to me.
All right. I will bring my knee pads and a six-pack, and we'll see if we can start making inroads.
Well, look, and honestly, though, I'm just happy that the inner-city kids are getting more Shakespeare, because, you know, that's what I'm about.
That's the important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. They love swordplay, those kids.
A little too much, if you ask me.
It was a great event. Everything that you were in charge of, Adam, was fantastic.
Well, thanks, Kevin, and I want to thank you. I was going to thank your wife, but I'm just going to thank you because you're the guy who paid for your wife's $4,500 bid to tour Jay Leno's Super Garage, right?
Wow, how about that? Her father is an old-time car collector, and he loves that crap, so she bid on that for him.
I was walking out when that was going on, that whole auction thing.
Did anyone...
Because they auctioned off like 8 different trips to Adam's bedroom and wanted to visit Adam in the toilet.
That happened. Oh.
Shake Adam's hand in his garage, and I was like, I have no beer, I'm hot, I have red wine in my hand, I'm walking. That's what I did.
That's the kind of support you got from Ralph, Adam.
He got my check. That's all that matters.
You know what, Ralph, you're right, and it's pathetic, and I don't, you know, Sierra Nevada said they were going to pony up the beer, and someone told me they were out of it like 45 minutes in, and I don't know what the hell went on.
Yeah.
Well, they were a little light in the keg department. But it was funny, those guys going on a beer run. The guys who own Sierra Nevada going on a beer run. At
they
some
went out
point.
To buy some?
You'd think there was a number they could call. They wouldn't have to go down to 7-Eleven.
I think they commandeered kegs from like local liquor stores the way, remember when they had the North Hollywood bank shootout?
Yeah.
And they busted into that gun store, the LAPD just busted in and said, we need AK-47s, and we need them now?
Yeah.
Right. I think it was the same tone.
Wow, well, they should have gotten more then, maybe. Then,
maybe I left too early. I didn't know there was going to be a beer run.
Yeah, they did. They went on a beer run, and they replenished. Your goblet could have been replenished.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow, sorry you had to leave.
Well,
but the good news is it's the one time you drove home from a party on Saturday sober.
I know.
That's true.
Great point.
I almost couldn't find my way home.
Hey, man, thanks for the invite. I'm glad you raised a bunch of money.
I was officially drunk and or high because this is the first time in my life I let my wife drive me home.
Wow.
And maybe a lot of it, maybe it had to do with, you know, I pictured myself, you know, on PCH calling one of the officers Sugar Teats or something like that. Maybe, you know, if you're going to drive drunk, you know, Simi Valley's the place to go, not...
That's
not
true.
PCH.
That's true. It's not the place.
I'm going to write a very spirited letter to the good people at Sierra Nevada and tell them where they can take their free beer and put it next year.
All right. Don't go easy on them, Adam. This is very important.
In the words of William Shakespeare, I shan't.
Okay.
You shan't.
All right. Thanks, Adam. We'll see you on Friday.
Good day.
Bye now. Ralph Garman joins us for a Tuesday afternoon look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
When did his name turn change to Rolf?
Thank you very much, Mr. Bean. It's great to be here from Dusseldorf.
Did not hear that at all. I'm sorry if that's what was said.
Rolf.
Time to play Celebrity Rehab Roulette.
Woo-hoo. That's the wrong one. That's the wrong one.
Celebrities. There you go. They love to party. How f***ed up can they get? Who's putting down the needle or drying out? It's time for Rehab Roulette.
All right, let's see who's gone in. Oh, the safest bet in the casino, Amy Winehouse, hospitalized again today.
Wow, for really? Natural causes again?
No, this time it's chest pains, Kevin.
Ah.
Yeah, apparently she was hospitalized yesterday with chest pains, according to her handlers. But they say that she's going to have to cancel the show she had planned for May 31st at the Shepherd's Bush Empire Show. I don't know who the Shepherd's Bush is, but it couldn't possibly compete with hers.
Shouldn't she just flat out cancel all gigs for the rest of her life?
Forever.
Just make a sweeping statement.
People should know.
Apparently the performance was supposed to be the last of a week-long celebration for Island Records' 50th anniversary, because that is her label.
Okay.
But she will not be able to make it due to hospitalization for chest pains. Apparently she left the needles in her chest. So that's why it hurts so much.
I'm just impressed they're not going with exhaustion and dehydration, since she is a celebrity.
Yeah, but look, you can't go to that well too many times. Eventually you got to mix things up.
Does it say in that article, Ralph, I haven't read it yet, when her posthumous album will be released?
It does not, no. But she may go Tupac anytime soon.
Marie?
Donnie Anderson? Donnie Harrison. Son of George Harrison, will officially introduce the Beatles Rock Band video game next week at the E3 Electronic Entertainment Expo here in Los Angeles.
Sure can't wait for that.
You know, Kevin, I'm telling you, it's going to be the best-selling rock band ever.
Well, it is.
Probably true.
Probably.
Yeah.
And your kids would probably love it, Kevin.
Mm.
So many great songs in Beatles Rock Band.
Yeah.
Expo happens from June 2nd through the 4th, and you won't be able to buy the Beatles Rock Band until September 9th, but Harrison will be there to kick it off and to demonstrate the project for everyone attending E3, so you can check that out.
Have you guys seen Danny Harrison on any of the shows that he's done?
No.
And he played Coachella, too. He looks so much and sounds so much and plays so much like his father that it's eerie.
But is he?
His father?
He's not.
He's not
George Harrison. No.
Turns out George is dead.
I'm out.
It's more Beatles news?
No.
Ringo made an old woman cry this week.
Then yes.
Apparently he was at the Chelsea Flower Show in London when an old woman came up to him and asked for an autograph. And he said, I don't sign autographs. Read it on my website. I walked away from her, and she burst into tears, according to onlookers. He knows he's Ringo Starr, right? Luckiest man in show business?
He does need to remember that.
After Kevin. Second luckiest man in show business? But seriously, that's just wrong on so many levels.
I guess he thinks there's only two Beatles left, you know, and he's one of them, so.
So he gets to call the shots?
I don't think so either.
Yeah, come on.
It's a middle finger to the fans is what it is.
There's really only one Beatle left, let's be honest.
Right. And the backup drummer.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton, she's still spectacular. You know, she's got a documentary about her life coming out. This is the new thing now.
I didn't know that.
Everyone's doing their own documentaries about their own lives.
Really?
I'm not kidding you. The title of it is...
That's hot?
Paris, not France.
No, it isn't.
It is.
Oh. Nope, it's not.
It debuted at the Toronto Film Festival this past week to mixed reviews. But she was supposed to do an event the other night where she was going to introduce designer Christian Audigier. Familiar with him?
No.
Mm-mm. He's a highfalutin designer. Does a lot of men's clothing.
Okay.
She gets up on stage, gets to the microphone, forgets his name. He's supposed to introduce him and bring him on stage. She could not remember his name.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's still the best.
I know how I am, so that's fine.
I love her so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brooke Shields was talking about her life as a child star. Said, you hear all these celebrities who are kids living the fast lane, you know, living the wild life. She wished she had lived it up a little bit more when she was a teen star.
Really?
Yeah.
Not with that mama hers.
That was the problem. Her mom was very controlling. She didn't lose her virginity until she was 22 years old.
Damn it.
She said she had a problem with self-esteem. That if she had to do all over again, she would have given up the good sooner to be more in touch with myself.
You don't hear that often.
No, you don't. You don't hear women regretting that they held on to their virginity for too long.
Wasn't she doing nude scenes when she was like 17 or something?
Yeah, she did a lot of stuff in... 18? She did a lot of stuff in movies. She was one scene in, I think it was Blue Lagoon, where she was supposed to be having sex with Christopher Atkins.
Mm-hmm.
And the director from off-screen, it may have been Endless Love. I think it's Endless Love. Anyway, she had a sex scene. And the director off camera, had to grab her big toe and squeeze it really hard and hurt her so that something would register on her face and look remotely similar to an orgasm.
Oh, no.
Make an old face, damn
it. He was pinching her, and she was like, ah! She was like making a pain face, but it was doubling for the ecstasy face.
That's awesome.
In that same film.
Somewhere out there.
But she didn't know. She had no idea. She didn't know what it was about.
Yeah. Somewhere, though, there's an ex-boyfriend who dated her, you know, like when she was 16, 18, 20. Yeah. Got nothing. Now she realizes she should have given it up. That does to break that poor guy's heart.
And that's why, girls, we're telling you, just give it up. That's the moral of the Kevin and Bean Show. Just put it out there. It's not that special. Don't hold on to it. What are you doing saving
it
for?
Is that really what we're doing?
What are you saving
it for?
We're
telling young girls?
Seems like that's the message.
Give it up.
Brooke is giving, not us. Brooke's saying
it. Brooke's saying, give it up. Okay. And then take drugs after you have a baby. That's what she's saying. The moral of her stories. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lenny Kravitz is 45 years old today. Actress Helena Bonham Carter, also on-again, off-again girlfriend of director Tim Burton. They have a committed relationship. However, they live in separate homes.
Yeah.
That seems like an awesome, easy way to get along.
Man, I could get a good night's sleep if I lived like that once in a while.
She's in the Harry Potter movies now. That's kind of what she's up to, right?
She is, yes. Yeah. She's 43 years old today. South Park co-creator Matt Stone turns 38. Actress Pam Grier celebrates her 60th birthday. Philip Michael Thomas. Tubbs from Miami Vice is 60. And rock legend Fleetwood Mac member Stevie Nicks celebrates her 61st birthday. You think she was bell-worthy at one time in her life?
Nope.
She was pretty hot.
I think she was. Yeah. In the 70s, sure she was. Yeah.
She was pretty hot.
Back when,
in the 70s, Kevin, she was hot.
When Lindsey Buckingham was getting it done, she was pretty hot.
Nope.
Absolutely.
Come on, Kevin.
No.
We're not asking you to say she's hot now at 65 or whatever. She's
back in the day.
In the day, she was hot.
Nope.
How can you say no?
No, watch. No.
But she was.
But no.
Can you picture who we're talking about?
Yes.
We're not talking about Mick Fleetwood here. You know we're talking about Stevie Nicks, right?
Woman Christine McVie, the hot one.
The woman that sings like a goat.
That's the one. Yeah.
All right, yes. No, then.
But
no.
She was hot. No. She was hot at one time.
No.
Look, she might have been a little too brown rice and patchouli, but still, she was hot at one time.
Hot. Do you say that because you don't like her music, or are you just basing it on her appearance?
Both.
But she was hot at one time.
No, the thing is, no. Here's the thing about that. She was hot right up until the point where no.
I wish Kevin would take more of a stand about his opinions. I find him too much of a flip-flopper. He's much too flexible. He's swayed too easily.
I'm saying no.
And he spends too much time gathering facts to support his decisions,
That's
too.
Right.
That's annoying. That's just exhaustive, the research that he does on every single thing he says.
You're like a young Obama.
Thank you.
So well-read and
I should be our next president.
You should be.
All right.